bring it down early, always a sign of cocky confidence, perhaps arrogance. But when I bring down that intro song early, it says, I think we're going to have magic. And if it blows up in my face, just shove it up my fat butt.
Just put it
right in my keister. Everyone, it's Papa's Basement. I'm your host, John Papa Giorgio. If you're listening to this, you already know what the show's about, but it's a comedy show. We just talk about whatever makes us laugh, and then that's it. There's no overriding theme. I know that podcasts are completely different from radio broadcasts. I just refuse to acknowledge that. I walk on the mic like I'm Greaseman in 94. That's before he said the horrible race stuff, right?
No, that's way after.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
So I'm making
jokes about James Byrd. Yeah, right. Lauryn Hill type things.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
My wife was a huge fan of the Greaseman back in the day.
Oh, but only after he said those things, right?
I don't know. I feel like we're going to edit that out. No. Oh, wait, it's live. Whoops.
Yeah. No, your wife was like, I just don't get his hijinks. And then he said, yeah, maybe we'll kill one a week till we get the whole week off gobbledygook. And she was like, that man makes sense now. I get comedy.
That was like elementary school for me.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. I actually did not remember the controversy.
That's why you doing it in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like a well-seasoned racist by then.
No, it was like late 90s Greaseman became a racist.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, okay, he became probably racist a long time ago, but that's when, like, his controversy was. He had two different incidents, if I recall.
Yeah.
The one was Lauryn Hill. I believe she had dropped The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. That's what the kids call it. By the way, I'm on air with Joe Gagliardi and Michael Johnson. There you go. Those are intros. So he dropped The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and I guess that was...
He dropped it.
Yeah, he was Lauryn Hill. No, I guess she won some Grammys or something, and he had, I'm guessing, a new segment and played it and went like, yeah, no wonder we drag him behind pickup trucks.
Whoa, good God.
Yeah. And then I believe it was MLK Day. Yeah. This was a separate incident. And they were talking about getting Monday off. He's like, nah, why don't we kill four more of them? Get the whole week. Gobbledygook, gobblegoo.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe this guy started at the same place as Don Imus. And that's how he came
Don Imus. Oh, my God. There's another dumbbell. Good Lord.
I mean, I get it. You say really, as we've heard a million DJs defend it, like, you say dumb things in the heat of the moment. You're talking stream of consciousness for 4 hours. But, yeah, didn't age well.
No.
Didn't.
Definitely not.
It didn't even for the time that he said it.
No, yeah. By the time it got from his mouth to the mic, it aged really poorly.
Died.
What happened?
Straight up natural death, man. It aged to the point of like cremation.
I thought you were hitting me with the Greaseman diet, and I was like, hey, God.
Is he still working?
No. Greaseman's last gig was at a pay-for-play radio station. That was my very first radio gig.
Oh, really?
Like, Greaseman would come in every Saturday with tapes, and then we would broadcast.
Pay-for-play?
Yes. He paid to have an on-air shift to say he was still on air.
Oh, my God.
And it was out of an AM business radio station. DMV, 700 AM.
What was he like?
I never met him. He paid to have his name on the marquee. So, like, when I looked at the radio station, it was like,
there's no
DMV.
Greaseman podcast?
There probably is. I know he's still, like, rich as all hell.
Really?
Because I follow him on Facebook. Just, you ever have people...
You ever just want to follow racists?
Yeah.
God.
Well, you know...
Who,
like,
else do you follow?
Yeah, don't you... Well, I don't know, Milo Yiannopoulos. Nothing crazy.
Right.
No. You want to stay on the cutting edge of racism. You're like, who are we hating this week?
Right.
Are we, you know, like, the Taiwanese get it this time. But he will occasionally, going back to what I was going to say before, people just pop up in your Facebook feed and you're like, right. Oh, we have like four mutual friends. What the hell? Like, I had Matt Walsh from UCB.
He was friends with the Greaseman?
Yes.
Maybe not for long.
He actually wrote those lines for him.
Right.
That's terrible.
He popped up on my, like, you might know feed. I'm like, hell yeah, I know Matt Walsh. And so I'll just, like, add these people, add friend. And once in a while it happens. Like,
the Greaseman pops up again.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah.
What are you up to?
Does anybody know his actual name?
Doug Tracked.
Oh, there you go.
Doug Tracked.
I don't think I ever knew his actual name.
That wasn't his real name.
Doug Tracked. T-R-A-C-H-T, I believe.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Doug Tracked.
What?
Doug Tracked.
I retract that statement.
I'll keep saying it till you get it. Doug Tracked.
I mean, they're saying something dumb, and then there's like, I mean, that was like a well thought out, but it's like, that was, he had a plan there. And that was like a, multi-day operation. That's terrible.
He wrote
that
in the crapper, like the break before, and was like, I'm going to kill with it.
Oh my God. That's not a slip of the tongue. That's a slip of the brain.
I'm going to let that sit there. Sorry. Sorry. What's up, Joe? I can't see you over the monitor.
I can't see you, man. I can't see you over the monitor. I can just see your curly Greek locks.
You can see my naps.
Sticking up. Your salt and
pepper.
You
can see my nappy-headed hoe hair.
Oh, God.
What? We're doing news.
A coworker of mine said that, used that exact phrase.
What?
She said something about...
Your secretary?
Her father...
Hitler?
Her father was African-American and her mother's Indian.
Okay.
And so she said something today about... Something about her dad leaving her nappy roots or something, and that there was one time when her hair was straight and she felt like the wind through her hair or something, and I just couldn't. All I could relate was that my favorite rap group in the late 90s was Nappy Roots.
Indian as far as like Asia.
Feather, he's asking.
Asian.
And she doesn't like her black heritage.
Well, it's not that. It's just she was saying, I haven't heard that phrase in a while, other than the rap group from the, you know, Nappy Roots from the late 90s. And then, of course, the thing Imus said. Didn't Imus say something about...
Nappy-headed hoes.
Nappy-headed hoes.
Right. He was talking about a basketball team.
I believe the Rutgers women's team.
Absolutely terrible. No, so the only, like, three times in my life I've heard that phrase, other than the rap group, was Don Imus earlier today with my coworker.
I completed the Trinity?
You completed the Trinity, yeah. Seemingly so.
Was she having a bad hair day?
No, she might be listening right now. She's always got nice hair. I don't know. I was like, your hair is lovely. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird self-loathing stuff.
Why are we asking the bald guy about hair? I'm not really the authority to, like, you know, to comment on this.
Is she stunningly beautiful?
I mean, I'm a happily married man, she's Michael. What do you want me to say?
Well, he's asking, like, would you have sex with her behind your wife's back at work? Just hypothetically
That's absolutely terrible.
Okay.
Absolutely
just throw that out there. I mean, that's the standard of beauty we're talking about.
Of all the things, John, you get a hotel room, like an adult. You know what I'm saying? Like, geez, man.
What if your wife said you can have sex with one of your coworkers?
That's going to have to be a hard pass, I feel like. Look, before I got together with my wife, we were coworkers, and the reason we never got together was because we were coworkers.
Uh-huh.
And then when I left that job, we decided to bump uglies, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Was there a tension while you guys worked together?
There was a tension, yeah. We were both...
Did you guys talk about it?
We didn't really talk. We didn't talk about it until the end, and then it kind of became this, like, we both knew that we were into each other, and we were both dating other people that were early relationships that were mostly physical. Right. But we weren't happy, and so one day I literally said to her, like, "Well, what if we hooked up?" Mm. And she was like, "Well, sure." And so, you know,
your wife works for the government, right?
A government, yeah,
the county,
a government entity,
and that's what you did.
So we were both independent contractors at the time, working for a county government.
Yeah, okay,
and we were both business process analysts, which is as exciting as it sounds.
Did you have hair back then?
I did not.
You didn't. Okay. Did were you like sexier back then? Like, I'm just trying to sex this up. For
I
me.
Mean,
I'm trying
sexier
to get shoved
is
up.
A relative term.
I'm trying to get
I
my.
Mean, if you're into bellies, you know.
Did you not
sexy
have the belly
right
back
here.
Then?
It was in its infancy.
Did you look like Bill Dotrieve back when he was the Bildos?
I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Bill Dotrieve.
I'm sorry you don't watch King of the Hill. I'm sorry you're a peasant. I'm sorry that Mike Judge is too good for you.
Nice. King of the Hill. That's a great reference.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really cool with what's going down in 97. I got the Grease Man and King of the Hill.
And for those of you
Let's talk about lit.
For those of you going to family reunions this summer, just remember, sexy is a relative term.
I'm just saying.
Okay, there's the door.
I sat on that pun for almost a minute.
As long as the Grease Man sat on my line.
I mean, do you disagree? Do you quarrel with that, sir?
What? That sexy is relative?
Sexy is relative, yeah.
You mean as far as like one person is sexy and then you find another person not sexy?
Well, like for example, so do you feel like you have a nice shirt, you got a nice polo shirt on, it's a nice, it's a non-standard pastel color, I would say. So you put some effort into that, right? Like you didn't just stumble across that in a Kmart, right? So did you buy that shirt with the intention of catching the lady's eyes?
I bought it because I needed some summer work shirts.
Mm. But no consideration
but
given
I also,
to the,
you know what, I when I do shop, especially where I go, which is like, I mean, it's not like outrageously expensive, but some of it can add up when you need a whole bunch of stuff. So I go into the dressing room, and most of the time I'm like, it has to be an A plus. It has to be, as soon as you put it on, you're like,
yeah. So it's like an 80s montage. Nice. And someone's there like shaking their head, yeah, at your first five looks.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally Andrew McCarthy's like, yeah,
yeah,
when you're wearing your teal shirt.
Right.
Okay.
Nice. With along about like five others.
Yes. Okay. Nice. Cool. Yeah.
But so like if you were going to go on a date with a woman, you wouldn't show up in what I'm wearing, for example.
I might, right? Ask you if I could borrow your clothes.
I don't. You sure? Well, according to Papa Giorgio, I was wearing a banana hammock yesterday at improv class.
You were wearing an incredibly, I don't know if it was because your thighs are thicker or whatever, but yeah, your fabric stretched like real taut.
Right across the front, the nether realm.
Yeah.
I mean? Right across the front.
Well, you know, it depends on what the date is, because the last time I did this podcast, I went on a date. And I think I just went in what I wore for work.
Were those two things related? Was she listening and she was just so enthralled? No. She was waiting for you when you were, okay.
Like your dick and balls, I had to look this up to confirm it. Your dick and balls were peeking through the fabric like the face on the cover of the movie The Frighteners. Like,
wait,
you'll Google it.
The Frighteners.
The Frighteners. Just, yeah. Google The Frighteners.
The Frighteners.
So, just look up The Frighteners.
Oh, okay. I see. His dick and balls were blasting through that way.
Yeah, like it's just like this like, outline. Like I could see the lip.
Like you were making a, what is it, a paper mache cast?
Yeah, like imagine.
A plaster cast.
It was like Boz relief.
Like the very first time Spider-Man makes his mask and it's just like he pulls like a nylon over his face.
Right, right.
Like that's how visible Joe's dick and balls
Where was this last night?
This is at the Unified Scene
Literally,
Theater.
Were you wearing like bicycle shorts?
I was wearing plaid shorts. Non-cargo shorts.
That plaid would be like busy enough to
it didn't distract. No, it didn't. No. Like, I mean, if I
Well, it distracted you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No.
God, I mean, you threw a tennis ball right at my nuts.
Yeah, I had to destroy what I loved the most in life.
Unbelievable.
Like Fight Club when he's like, I saw something beautiful and I had to make it ugly. That's how I felt about your dick. And that's why I threw a tennis ball at it.
He says at one point out loud in the middle of the thing, he's like, that's Joe's shorts are too revealing. And he just like sat down in shame. And I was like, what the fuck?
You sat down in shame, but
he sat down in shame. And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize. I was like pressing it in.
I was like,
at that point, everybody looks at your dick, right?
I was trying to set him up. Exactly. Man. But no, I was like a Mormon boss who had like a slut secretary and a short skirt. I was like, put on a towel for the rest of the work day. Nope. And then don't dress like this again.
Just a towel.
Put a towel around your filthy.
Wait,
chicken.
How was the last class?
Sean.
How was the class itself? What did you guys work on?
We were just doing Harold form. So those that aren't in the know, we're all of us involved with the Unified Scene Theater, an improv theater run by our buddy Sean Westfall, and it's closing at the end of the month. And we were, Joe and I, part of its very last class. So yeah, we did this improv form called the Herald, listeners.
We
did the Herald over and over and over, and the entire time I was staring at that meaty kielbasa and meatball setup this half Polak, half Italian's got.
How was the set that you guys did?
It was all golden. I mean, it's more brilliant than the last. I don't know how to review myself. It wasn't horrible.
Wait, John and I did a scene. And
like we're doing right now.
We were clowns,
mm-hmm,
putting on makeup, and one clown's name, it was from the rant. Somebody's rant, they said, when I was a kid, we had a clown named, what was it, like Hershey's or something?
It was me.
Or Nestle?
No. My old gym teacher.
Right. They had like a real live clown?
Like.
Well, his gym teacher, apparently.
My gym teacher in Mr. Winterstein. God, was it Winterstein? Okay, I think it was Winterstein. Mr. Winterstein.
So kids would come over and to like play in your room. And you're like, just don't worry. That's Mr. Winterstein.
No, he like we had this this young kind of virile, but he was like ethnic looking. Like,
so
imagine
he was like a Soviet gymnast.
Yeah, imagine like one of the Warriors, but like not wearing a vest, like wearing gym teacher clothes. And during
Warriors like the basketball team or Warriors like
the movie?
Like come out and play. Like I don't make references from past 2000. Like, so yes, the Warriors. So he's got this afro and these succulent lips and the swarthy skin. he one time was trying to teach us juggling and was just like batting it out of the park. And I was like, holy hell, how does Mr. I think it was Winterstein, but I don't want to say.
Was his clown name like Chuckleface?
It was Bosco.
Bosco.
Long story short, one of the kids turns to me. He's like, well, you know, he moonlights as a clown, right? He's a clown named Bosco.
And so the kid's standing next to you like a detective.
Yeah. Pretty like just bringing it. Like, how would this kid in any way know other than a story? Like, if this were true, this kid would have only known this because Bosco came to his goddamn birthday.
Or someone else's.
Yeah. And we would have heard the story in full. But instead, it's just like. Like, it was almost like this kindergarten version of, like, our teacher does porn. You know, it was like, our gym teacher's a clown. Like, we couldn't take him seriously. He's a damn gym teacher. Like, he's already just chilling.
Is he a clown, like, you know, and then he takes the makeup off just to teach? Or is he a teacher that becomes a clown?
I don't, yeah, like, where does the locksmith end and the podcaster begin? I don't know. Like, yeah. I mean, he was like a diesel dude, though. Like, he took off that makeup to eat that kid's mom's puss at the party, you know? Like, that's, he was.
Where did that story start?
No, I'm just saying, like, what? I don't know why.
I know he's a clown because he ate my mom's pussy at my birthday party.
Terrible. God.
And that's why I really hate him. I have nothing against clowns deep down. Nothing. No, it was weird. Even
wait,
as a
back
kid.
Up your birthday party.
Even as a kid.
You make up everywhere.
We had this weird pecking order for the teachers. And we were like, you gym teachers are the nappy headed hoes of the teacher hierarchy.
Oh, come on. Like, four times now I've heard that.
Yeah, we looked down upon them, man.
So Mr. Bosco.
Mr. Bosco, yeah.
Did it get out that he was a clown?
Well, we all told it to each other. Like, it got out. Yeah, the same way you're like, hey, the new kids on the block barfed and there are seven kinds of cum in the barf. You know, like it.
What school did you go to?
Can we get back to the. So we were playing clowns because in the rant he talked about Bosco the clown.
Yeah.
And so I jumped in and said, hi, something like I'm Ovaltine the clown. And we were putting on makeup. And as the Harold progresses through its three scenes, the third scene, we were just angrily putting on makeup. Then it turns out at the end, we were in love. So, you know, good times with clowns in the final.
Is there anything less magnetic than describing an improv?
I was just thinking, you lost half your audience.
It's just absolutely, that's as bad as it gets.
We're down to one.
We were in the first scene of the Herald.
Then the rant, which was informed by a tale of a gym teacher clown.
Hey man, it was your rant. It was your story.
I also took a hell of a crap 20 minutes ago, but I'm not bringing that up.
The thing is like I could really go into detail.
Of course, we all could. Like, we all had this creepy little side life of ours in the improv.
It is a weird thing. It is a weird bunch of.
But
squirrels.
We are being sensitive to the four or five people that are tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
that had to.
For God's sake, you want to crack some hentai nuts? You want to get into the weeds on the hentai? We can do that too. We all got weird little things we're into. But no,
that is true.
I'd like to go back to your elementary school.
Yeah, there it is.
Deconstruct that.
Sure. What do you like?
Kids are vomiting cum, and also,
no, I said the new kids on the block is in the band, not new kids to school.
I was like, I thought you had some.
No. Like, if kids were vomiting cum in class, like, I would like to think the authorities would step in.
I thought you had a neighbor, a new kid that barfed at the bus stop, and you guys.
I don't know what to do, man. The phrases you think you'll never hear in your life.
the clown was actually the gym teacher was actually a clown because of what maneuver he pulled at the kid's birthday.
Well, wait. We have to establish: is he a gym teacher that's a clown, or is he a clown that's a gym teacher? What is his essence of Mr. Weinstein?
Winterstein. Yeah.
Was he like an immigrant?
He looked like if I told you Mr. Winterstein was there.
Yeah, those like wide set Eastern European eyes.
Very much so. Yeah. Like just hands that should have been holding a meat cleaver and making sausage on the Lower East Side. But instead he was a gym teacher in Chantilly, Virginia.
We can either climb rope or you watch me juggle.
What do you kids do for entertainment in the country?
Who has birthday coming up?
May I eat mother's pulse?
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, like we like mocked this dude for being a young guy who was a gym teacher, but looking back, like he must have banged mad ass. Like, I don't think he was married.
Maybe he was a clown because he has all this child support payments, you know, to he has to make.
Oh, and he wanted that sweet clown money. We all know.
No, he's like, I got five illegitimate children. I got five
from the clown circuit.
He's like, I gotta make money. Well, it's any like way
the,
I know how.
Yeah, it's like the drug game. Like, it's a trap. Like, you can't get out. The same thing with birthday clown.
Then he starts
for
pimping,
child support money.
Pimping other clowns. And pretty soon he is.
Yeah, they're just impregnating every mom.
And he's got a bottom clown. that is the clown that you know,
yeah,
that
like
he loves the most.
10 years later, the entire class of 97 like all looks alike and can juggle like champs. That's just
wait. His grand scheme. Aren't people usually like my wife is terrified of clowns. I'm pretty sure. I think just about everybody.
My grandmother collected paintings of clowns.
Really,
that was a thing back then.
Like the tacky black velvet.
Anything that was a clown. Well, it was like clowns. Ducks, grandfather clocks, probably.
Is this because she was like was it, hung up on the banging that Mr. Winterstein gave her?
Was probably. It? Wait. Was it also newspapers and old wrappers and pencils and other
I
things?
Like the newspaper, the clown times.
I believe the term is hoarding. He's like grandfather clocks, clown paintings, duck paintings.
It was actually a pretty
board
neat,
games,
neat
original
house.
Game Boys.
It was just, you know.
Yeah.
Just clown themes.
The most disturbing painting, though, was owned by my other grandmother, who had a very detailed painting of Custard's Last Stand.
Okay.
Custard's.
Custard's.
Custard's. Was he a Boston cream pie?
Yes. What did I say? Custard?
Custard.
Is it Custer?
Is there an
Custer,
S?
If I may, as a resident military historian. It's Custer. It's yeah. He was not, in fact, a sweet, creamy jello of sorts.
He got custard.
That generally
though.
Comes out of a yeah. No.
Okay. It was Custard's Last Stand.
But that's a great Ben and Jerry's name, Custard's Last Stand.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, you know what?
Limited edition flavor.
This painting had multiple images of guys getting scalped.
Really?
And then it had Custer, like, in the middle, about to be taken down. Like, they were just being
like,
overwhelmed.
Like Willem Dafoe at Platoon, like, just hands to the sky.
And one of the dreams that I can remember having as a child, I woke up at her house, and I saw that painting, and there were, like, guys, like, the painting was, like, alive within it. I can still remember it.
Like, the end of Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, just like people were like getting scalped, and you know, you saw horses like running, and you heard, I like heard it and saw it, and I just remember like just I was frozen in my bed.
What do you so
God, kids are stupid.
I just if I may, I don't know that it would be possible to shave your head into the glorious skin tight do that I rock now, but
sure.
Back then, what do you think? What would they have done? Just hit me in the head with a tomahawk?
Just,
and
they
would
have just peeled back your skin.
Peeled back the skin.
Grab your brain.
Well, there's, you know.
They would have taken your scalp and used that as like a fleshlight.
That would be funny, though, to see like everyone's getting scalped and then they get to your head and they're like, I don't know what to do. What do we do? I don't know.
They would have just been laughing with each other. Like,
there was no way you could have had.
Just let them go.
We killed him for this. They're just chuckling.
Maybe they would do.
Brain the size of a peanut.
What's the guy, the Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
Oh, yeah. When he gets eaten by the bear.
Well,
Gilbert Grape.
Doesn't it start out where they like let him go, like start running, like he's naked? I think that's part of the story. Maybe I don't know if it's in the movie or not, but in the story of the guy that he depicts.
Yeah, I know the flick you're talking about. I don't remember the name.
But he gets captured by Indians, and part of the game is that they let him like have like a half-mile start, and then they all take after him,
mm-hmm.
and he like escaped.
Yeah. Oh,
egg on their face.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't. It was. I'm trying to remember anything other than him getting gored by that bear, which was horrific.
I still haven't seen it. I've heard
oh
that was a great scene.
God, it
what's
was
it
horrible.
Called again?
It was like a one word name. It was like Escape or
Basketball Diaries.
Eaten or something.
Begins with an I.
The Island.
Incubus. No.
Inception.
Incognito.
There you go. There
it is.
We got it covered, man.
No, what is it?
It was just called Bear.
Did you ever see Grizzly with the story of
the Grizzly Man?
The Grizzly Man.
I think I saw Grizzly Man. Yeah,
I had the Grizzly Man.
Werner Herzog. He destroys the only like audio or video of the guy actually getting eaten.
The guy's camera was rolling with the lens cap on while he was getting eaten alive by a bear. And apparently it was like a 10-minute struggle. No, I think his girlfriend was mortally wounded at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, I think she tried to do something, but yeah. Well, I think they were both eaten.
I'm fairly certain they were both killed. I mean, it was like really gnarly, man. Like apparently you can hear these two like for, I don't even know, like, 7 or 8 minutes or something.
Nobody should ever listen to this.
Oh, yeah, it's horrific, man. Just
I have to go teach gym class.
Wow, we're going to break with this.
That movie was a little bit nuts, though. I mean, if you haven't seen Grizzly Man, I'm not going to lie, I laughed through a great deal of it until he gets eaten, and then it was like, oh, that's sad.
I guess I haven't seen it because I definitely have not seen a movie where a guy is
eaten by a bear.
He reminded me of the guy. Do you remember the guy that did the Joseph Kony campaign that was then found like naked on a corner?
Yeah,
like a few years ago.
Sure.
Do you remember that guy?
It's an obscure
reference.
He's like
actually.
This blonde-haired, all-American-looking, super positive, super energy guy.
It was Billy Zabka from Karate
Kid. It might as well. That was the Grizzly Man. He had like the same personality. He was so
super positive.
Well, he's just super.
Do you ever feel like it's
extroverted
when
you say? You don't think so?
I don't know that he was, but he was extroverted with bears. I don't know that he was like extra. I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, he talks in the movie about how much he like hates other humans. Because,
but I think
I'm sure he was relentlessly mocked for his.
But I think
a number of things.
I can't remember what his former life was, but I think he was. Yeah, I mean, I think by that time,
tax attorney,
probably.
Yeah.
Hey, you need your taxes done?
He was a school marm.
He was extroverted with bears.
It was like, I love that, like, as a fearful, timid little pussy boy. Like, I love when someone who lives this fearless life, like, it ultimately does blow up in their face.
You should watch Into the Wild, then, or read the book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, is that the dummy who dies on the bus, like, 18 feet from a road?
I love the quote in that movie where he says something about,
I'm like, so hungry. That's my favorite quote from the book.
Is he starved to death? How does he die?
Well,
he
ends up eating berries that are poisoned.
Yeah, I thought
and
he like
part of what the toxin what is it? Make him more hungry to eat, or like he can't. At some point, it was like even if he were to eat, he'd die anyway.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
I know that he was eating something, like you were saying, that had like nutritional zero content or like actively anti-nutritional, or it was like moldy or some crap. So it was like poisoning him. And he wound up dying. This guy that like because I lived through the 2000s. This dude was quoted by every pseudo-intellectual
dude. Christopher Chandler.
I don't remember the name. I remember the movie. I remember he lived in that bus. There was like a husk of a
I just love the quote is true happiness is only like apparent when it's shared, I think, as he was dying.
He like staring at other people eating in front of him and
no I think this was one of his last realizations, you know, where he was dying.
Oh, okay.
You were saying that you admire people that live, you know, by their code, and he's
no I like it when they die though.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, like I because I do nothing with my life.
Oh.
So these people who live this big, bold life, like I like it when they finally die.
Oh.
Because I get to be like, hey, that guy had this great life, but enjoy your mold berries. Like my fat ass is still alive eating crunch berries, you know? Like,
so it's like an angry thing.
It's all an angry
it's
thing,
all
Joseph.
Based in,
yeah.
It's all
your
projection.
And I feel like we need to go back to the whatever you called yourself, like a sniveling pussy or something you said.
Sure, whatever, yeah.
Except when there's a maniac in D.C. threatening someone who's costing the mafia money, and then you're Mr. Big Pants.
Oh, yeah, you know?
Were you there for that, weren't you?
No, but you told me about it. I don't think you were there for your retelling.
Were you?
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, long story short, the guy that... We had just all of us finished a show at the DuPont Underground in the DuPont Circle, the famous gay district of D.C. Because it's D.C. and everything's small, that DuPont Circle's literally like a 500-foot circle. And that's our gay district! So we were there, and some crazy guy walked up to us and was screaming that we were gay and
making all
fags
kinds of threats
and
violent
like, I'll kill
insults
you.
And
I just started screaming back at him. I don't know why.
I heard he blew a fuse.
Papa Giorgio?
Yeah.
He basically, like, it was sort of like, okay, so the guy comes running up to our group, and he's like, you blah, 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 you F words are costing the mob. It's just nonsense, like violent nonsense.
Real gibberish.
So then, so we all, so we're all standing there letting this guy just kind of burn himself out. And every time he gets done talking and starts to walk away, Papa Giorgio from the middle of the crowd's like, well, fuck you too, man. and then the guy turns around. And he's like, who the fuck said that? And Papa Giorgio's like, right?
That's, yeah, I was like,
Oh my God.
That's like, I can remember being in college drunk one night at a party, and this guy, I don't know what it was, but I kept looking at him just for whatever reason. Nothing.
He was gorgeous.
Well, no, I was, I knew him, and he loses his mind because he's like, he won't stop looking at me. And I just keep looking at him going, what? And they're like, Johnson, just stop looking at him. And I'm like, what? I'm just looking. And like, I'm just, you know, and I just kept.
He had a nice ass.
Just poking, yeah. poking.
You love to do that, man. I remember.
Poking?
Yeah, you are a hell of an agitator.
When?
We were filming a couple of weeks ago trying to make a comedy sketch.
Oh, yeah.
At the famed Bunny Man Bridge.
Well, that felt deserved.
And a couple citizens from the area drove up and were like, what are you doing here? You're trespassing.
You guys can't be here parking on the side of the road.
And what you just started screaming like, are you a Scientologist?
I didn't scream. I just like, I was like, I just kept asking him if he was a Scientologist.
Yeah. And you were
like,
then.
I was like, are you going to report us? Are you taping us?
Were you actually at the Bunny Man Bridge?
Yeah.
That's in like Lynchburg or something, right? Virginia?
No, it's like Clifton.
Fairfax County.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you see the Bunny Man?
Yeah, he came out.
It was daylight. It was like on a
Sunday. He mouth effed all of us. It was great. I swallowed.
Isn't that always back to that? Isn't it? And then did you throw it up?
No.
No. Always.
That's so offensive.
Isn't the Bunny Man, isn't that only like on Halloween night or something that people.
I don't know, man.
It's like only one night of the year that
BS gibberish. Some stupid bridge. Yeah, look at that Bunny Man Bridge. I ain't going to explain it. There's Google now. That's the best thing about radio.
Are there maniacs out there that only work on Halloween, you think? The rest of the time they're just like sitting around waiting.
I mean, I'm down. You know, just sit in the bushes like, oh, I'm going to scare them this year. You know, but it's good to know that's where we draw the line, right? So we're recounting improv skits, we're paraphrasing movie quotes, right?
Yeah,
right. It was like something about one small step for a man, one giant leap for I don't remember, but we're gonna draw the line at making references at clearing up references to I'm lost here. Somebody save me.
Yeah, no, yeah. Just keep going. Thing. Just keep going. Just burn out.
Just burn out. You know,
like what were the topics that you were?
I had some topics. Yeah. I had topics. I had a couple for us. We can talk Stranger Things and July 4th.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, cool. Topic since, done. Just topic covered right there.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it because it's too goddamn episode. Strange. I can't. I don't understand. There's some girl named like 17 or something.
Yeah,
what's her name? 11, 12,
11. I think
11. And she goes into some other dimension. I just my family absolutely loves it.
Is it like hard for you to understand simple movies? Like, Do you not get The Matrix? Are you like, why is it green? Why are there numbers around him?
What is
why is that guy from the bus in this movie?
Where's Bill?
Can the computers not go below 60 miles an hour?
Yeah. Was he Bill or Ted?
He was. Oh man,
he was Ted because Bill Preston's the blonde one.
He
so
was Ted,
I got it
think,
right.
Yeah.
All
right,
cool. Yeah. Wait a
classic.
Yeah, take that 50-50 shot with confidence. That's the secret to life. I got into a show like straight up where I'm like, okay, I think I'm about 10% gay. Have you heard of Pose on FX?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay, Pose is about the underground ball. God, I know way too much about this stuff to be straight. Are you familiar with the underground ballroom culture in New York of the late 80s and early 90s? Featuring Vogue dancing. You're familiar with voguing, of course, right? So in the late 80s, especially Black and Latino gay and trans people would form these houses with each other. Like they were kicked out of their homes, so they would form houses where they hung out, like almost like an improv troupe, but a house. So they'd be like, I'm House Extravaganza. I'm House Cindy Crawford, or whatever the hell they want to call their house. They would then get together at what were called these balls and do like, they would dance off, like have almost like dance competitions and like modeling competitions where they would either try to act super femme, like the category would be like butch femme or like ultra femme, right, or banji boy. Banji is where you act completely like straight, like you want to look thug as hell if you're in the banji boy competition.
Right.
So wow. Joe's like, I've never been harder. Like hearing about this, he's like, I'm quitting improv. This is where I need to be. So they made a show about this underground culture, which Madonna did the Vogue video. They would do a lot of Vogue dancing at these balls. There's now an FX show called Pose about this world. And like the entire cast almost is trans, like just male to female trans. And like, where do you guys fall on that spectrum? I'm 38. Joe, you're 37.
I mean, I'll be 38.
Okay, Michael, you're like
31.
You don't look over 28, but
good.
Good. I'm of that generation where I'm a little like, I don't have the Jim Norton in me. Like, I don't swing toward the whole, like, I'm female right. with a piece thing. Like, I'm a big fan of Michael. He looked like he had a question.
Let me ask you this. So, like, why does it matter? Like, it doesn't matter to me what someone wants to identify themselves as.
Yeah.
I don't care about that at all. It's, if you, like, whatever makes you comfortable or makes you happy. I'm not trying to.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
What's your question?
Am I gay, Michael?
Right.
Sorry, that's Ed Helms' line. So the show goes on, and it's just trans woman after trans woman. And these are like 2019 trans people playing the trans people of yesteryear.
Right.
I didn't know how far trans technology had come. Because, like, there used to be giveaways, like a certain jawline or, well, like,
you're saying now they look good.
Depth to a voice. They're pretty indistinguishable, man. Like, this is T-800 level infiltration unit. Like, and there's one trans actress on the show. Let me pop up her name. India Moore. IndyaMoore. Who's hot to the point I'm like, I think you're gay if you wouldn't do her. You know what I like?
So what you're saying is sexiness is relative, is what you're saying.
Oh,
it's just hashtag callback. No, it is, right? I mean, what is it? So what is it that would make you attracted to a biological female?
The puss?
No, but it's not, is it? Right? Because you don't see her vagina like when you
not
just, when
in
you
my
just meet
life.
Her
no,
like, you
it's
see,
been many
you
years.
See, right? You see, like her shape or her face or her
yeah.
hair or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Some guys, maybe it's her feet, whatever. But like,
I mean, all a penis is a overgrown clitoris.
This is true.
And testicles are just distended ovaries.
Ovaries, yeah, yeah. yeah.
I didn't know.
You could just say, you know what? Sometimes I like my ovaries on the outside.
Cool. I will tell my dad that in heaven.
Right.
And he will not look down on me in disgust.
Just don't start talking to your dead dad during
yeah,
sex.
No, I'm 38, so I'm not going to, like, I would still, like, I can jokingly talk about this in the trust tree that is this podcast. Like, yeah, I'd take head from her, but I don't know if push came to shove, I would. Like, maybe a sixer in, sure, what the hell. But that's still like a thing to me. Whereas with younger people,
there is a white hot heated debate on Twitter about this very thing.
Okay, go.
Oh, just that you would be labeled as transphobic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I definitely would. Like what I'm saying right now would be labeled. There's a huge thing. Have you heard of TERFs? I think they're called TERFs.
No.
Pretty much lesbians that are like, look, we're completely cool with trans women wanting to identify as women, that's fine. I don't want to date a woman that has a penis. And right. there's a subsection who's like, they're women. What the hell's your problem with
right.
it? And the old-fashioned lesbians have to be like, I'm just about the puss. I'm sorry. Like, I just like puss.
Yeah.
And they are being treated like Nazis right now. Like,
yeah, that's an argument that I think will go on for a long time. And there's just no sort of, there's just going to be no end in sight. And like Joe said, I'm just like, I don't care what you do. Just
stop yelling
at me and stop defining me
as a hate monger.
Well, yeah, I mean, it all depends. Like, or like if you if someone has a, let's say, a taste or a preference, I you know, for the most part, unless you're out maliciously or being proactive with your bigotry, it's kind of like when people get sued for slander or libel, like there's this intent behind it to injure, or if you're just like, you know what, it's not my bag, but hey, you know, I will live peacefully and amicably next to you, and you can work, and I will pay you what you deserve, and I would lease you a house if I were your landlord, you know, all this other stuff, then I want to tell people, like, relax.
As Voltaire said, like, I might not want a girl's cock in my mouth, but I will die for your right to suck it.
I will defend it. Yeah. That's like, it has gotten so, like, for me with the whole, the trans issue with, especially men or males, born males, I guess you could say, with that are being, that are competing in female events, especially like MMA.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You could talk to me until you're blue in the face about how that there's no problem with it.
I got an issue with it. Yeah.
And also, I understand even before, long before, that certain female athletes were actually testing higher, just naturally, for high levels of testosterone, and were having a hard time competing in events for like the Olympics and stuff like that. That they have my sympathy, and I'm not even sure, like, I could even articulate a stance on that.
You're like Billy Madison answering the question at the end of the film. Yeah.
But as far as, you know, someone that, hey, this was a dude like last year, and now they are wrestling women.
Yeah.
And they've gone undefeated in Texas and win the state championship. And
that
just
happens.
Like Kramer fighting the kids.
I remember where I read
it. It was
about,
Texas.
Was it Texas? Yeah. Or and, like, and there's like a dude
now that's fighting women in MMA and, you know, crushing, you know, his opponents.
Yeah, it gives pause.
I think, you know, at some point, I think maybe you're going to have mixed leagues or just separate leagues.
Separate but equal.
The thing you got to define, right? The thing you got to define is the difference between, so there's the difference in someone's genitalia, right, which may have to do with any number of things, up to and including, like Papa said, sexual attraction, right? Like, you may be attracted to a person who looks like a woman, but maybe you're not attracted to a penis, right, sexually. Right?
I'm not.
But that's only in the sexual realm. When you're talking about physiologically, like athletics, that's a different.
What if the
it's
penis,
a whole different realm?
What if the clitoris?
Yeah, the very big clitoris,
like the 6-inch, 7-inch clitoris. Yeah. When during orgasm, it didn't produce semen, but it still squirted like a female. I guess it wouldn't squirt out the. Would it?
You would have to take it to the lab. The same way they took the vomit from the New Kids on the Block.
But
to
I think,
find all that
I think ultimately out. You'd have to ask yourself, are you having fun and are you turned on?
Yeah.
And if you are, then
go
so
for
what?
It.
Go for
I just,
it.
Both of you take turns walking around and looking at this monitor and just snap answer, tell me yes or no.
I just looked her up. Yeah.
That's my man.
Yeah.
I mean, the question you have to ask yourself is, what if you were in a situation, because I've known guys, I mean, especially, you know, there's a lot of Marines that spend time in Thailand, for example, like where obviously the lady boys are kind of legendary for, I don't know if that's an incorrect term, forgive me, but
I think that's their branding.
I don't
over there.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's a yeah, I don't mean to sound offensive with that, but they're known for being very difficult to tell for sure. Yeah. So the question is, when you get to that moment where, like, say you're up to that moment, you think it's a woman, then the underwear comes off, I mean, what do you, you know, it, I know there are guys that have reacted violently. There are guys that might be up to try something new. I mean, did you ever think about what you would do in that situation? Like,
I think that is as sure a blood alcohol test as a breathalyzer for me. Like, if I were loaded enough and horny enough, I'd probably just be like, whatever. But, like, dead sober, I would not.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think the shock of it, frankly, I mean, before you even get to whatever you're into, you know what I mean? The shock of it would be like,
what I was saying though, like when he used the term ladyboy, and maybe what I took a long time to articulate before, mm-hmm. is that so much has changed so quickly that what I don't like is for people like in this forum to be able to talk about it.
Yes.
Without any sort of malicious intent, but it just purely trying to understand and
make a couple gags, not at anyone's expense, but our right. own.
Well, you know what? I think also if you want to be treated equally, you have to have, pardon the pun, your balls busted just like everyone
yeah.
else.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You can't.
And it like it will help you rather than getting offended. But anyway, what I want to be able to do is people to be able to discuss this and not feel like if they trip over a term or a word and all of a sudden, you know, I know what happens in my head is like, oh, if this is being recorded, if it gets out and then blah, blah, blah. And you,
don't worry. Nothing on this podcast will ever go anywhere.
But that's the part that I don't like.
Well, being three white males.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And that's the other here, part I don't like.
Well, so that's the thing, right? Like I started to write
like we
this.
We shouldn't have to apologize or even acknowledge it. It's just
what we are. Yeah.
It's the intent. That's like you said earlier, it all comes down to the intent. I think the people that know me well would know that there's no ill intent. I don't wish ill on anybody for their sexual preference, orientation, whatever the case may be.
Well, you know what?
But like,
why does this episode sound like a court ordered apology? All of a sudden?
Well, no,
no, no. But he's making a point. Like that's the point of the discussion. Is
in
today's society, I think pretty much any white male would be foolish to not consider to not just tread carefully with your words because if your intent is taken out of context, you can instantly just be destroyed, and there's very little opportunity to climb back necessarily.
People don't even care about context anymore. Like,
well, that's what I was just about to say is that there is an absence of critical thinking in looking at context.
People just want to be pissed. Yeah. It's literally there was a broad a couple days ago whose picture was circulating where she was holding up like a cartooned like a handwritten depiction of the two drowned people from whatever Latin American country you were coming here, you know, the image that was like 50 years ago when we had an attention span would have been heard around the world. But here it was just like a tweet we saw for 72 hours. You know what I'm talking about, right? The two face down people. Yeah. And she had like a cardboard drawing or a drawing on cardboard and black marker of that. And she was kind of like smiling and holding it up. But she was an anti-Trump person. Yeah. But the initial tweet was like, look at this pro-Trump person. And then immediately afterward, the person like corrected themselves and was like, oh, it turns out like she's anti-Trump and his policy. But here was this like very misleading, you know, comment and angle. Yeah. And everyone was still like, I hate this bitch. I'll kill her. And like maybe every 10th comment was like, hey, dude, he said this was not supporting the policy.
Right. You know, the other thing is that I feel like a lot of the culture, the social justice stuff, is the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then it's like, you know, if people just wouldn't react to the people reacting, you know, that's often what you have that
you can
do.
Well, it's the one thing, like, I do not like Trump. It's the one constructive thing you can learn from the dude. Right. Like, oh, you hate me and you want to make an issue? I don't care. Go to hell. And you know what? It's that one aspect of that asshole is inspiring.
That's where I'm at politically right now is someone on Facebook a while back said, post a controversial opinion or something like that. Mine was the left is... the left are hypocritical assholes. The right are predictable idiots.
Yeah,
and that's where that's where I stand with all of this.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So you get an argument. I mean, the thing is, at some point, I think in parenting, in life, in relationships, in politics, you have to draw a line somewhere. Like you have to be willing to say no to somebody, right? And I think one of the problems the left has is that they struggled to find where to draw the line, like where to say, okay, we can't include, like, you can be what you can identify as, say, a certain number of genders, but at some point you have to say there has to be like a limit or something, right? Because otherwise, how do you define legislation? How do you define like well, a benefit
and
or something?
You know what I mean? Logically, you know, from just a strict logic standpoint, you know, the what we were talking about with sports and males identifying as females to compete. And then it's like, well, then why couldn't, you know, if a female complained that she wasn't getting paid, you know, as much as I would was, I was like, well, then I'll just identify as a female and, you know, we'll end the argument there. You know, it's like, why is it all, why is it so arbitrary? I mean, there's just no solid definition, and you have to keep redefining it, it seems like, with every issue.
You mean you mean gender or like gender equality or like
just yeah? I mean, you want to talk about what is John has a look on his face like?
I don't know.
Well, this podcast
we're very pontificating.
This podcast turned to Meet the Press at some point. Yeah. I don't know who brought this. Like, so here I'll leave it with this. I feel like I can
just
comfortably
talk
cut
about
it here.
The girl with the
like,
dick blowing
this is a funny. This is like a funny going. Podcast. So like, this is not the forum to discuss like trans rights or. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a comedy podcast. So
it
like
was.
You can't mix making light of stuff and then also like we're now
you
like,
know what this
whatever.
Wait a sec though. This is the kind of shit though that is that underlies comedy now today.
Yeah.
It's like when you talk about like three white guys like doing a podcast, like that could be a punchline. Like somebody that could
That
just,
is a punchline. It's literally
yeah.
yes.
But at the same time, what else do you want me to do? Why should I feel ashamed or like, I mean, I came here, you know, after work, you know, to meet you guys that you drove from Annapolis, yeah. you know, and we all were trying to meet together to do something that we enjoy. And it can't, and what it's become a hack punchline as far as to dismiss it, you know, because I know like walking on stage sometimes it's like we're three or four white guys and I'm like, now that's in my head, you know, and it's like, so, you know, people use it to criticize. And I'm like thinking to myself, I have barely enough time to do the things I have to do to like, you know, make money and work and
yeah.
take care of my daughter and stuff like that. That, you know, for me to carry this on stage, I resent it.
You're saying like you're walking on eggshells kind of thing.
Well, I just resent having my own thoughts now, like, tainted with this sort of like self-justification for what I'm doing, what I'm saying, in a place where like I just want to be able to enjoy and like I'm not saying you guys have seen me perform and so like I'm not looking to shock people,
yeah,
but I'm also not looking now, like sometimes, you know, in the middle of a show, someone will say bitch. And it's like, you can feel the audience, especially in DC, like pull
yeah.
back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
true.
Like, oh, just relax. Like, get over it. Stop being such a little bitch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Hold on. There's actually a YouTube commenter supporting mm-hmm. Michael. Doug Track. No.
Doug Track.
There it is. Hey, boom. Boo. Callback.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you 100%. Like, I will just say that yeah the majority of my friends are white, like that's not always been the case in life. Right now in comedy it is, and I don't know, I just don't want to you're right, you shouldn't want to have to apologize for like not being as
yeah I want to be. When I started doing comedy back in the mid 2000s, DC was already a smart place, and mm-hmm. like if you went for cheap like low brow humor, you either you listened to the audience not react and then you didn't get cast or you didn't get booked or you just didn't get better. But if you were listening to the audiences, you adjusted. And like the DC scene for the most part are the comics, even like most of them are professionals or in policy or they're attorneys or they're nonprofits.
No one can make later. Yeah, that should be explained. No one in D.C. can make a living on comedy. Like, not just...
Some
just,
do, but, I mean, you have to...
Not
really,
in just performance. So
some,
what'd you say?
I would...
Mean, stand-ups.
Really?
I would maybe be able to name, what, 10, 15?
Are you shitting me right now?
That make a living doing comedy in D.C., like, for real?
Like for real, like just performing stand up. Not even like just the performance side of things.
Maybe Ramin Mustafavi. I think that's all he does.
Dude, he does like classes.
That's true.
He does
right.
All
he does
kinds
classes.
Of. I'm talking. I walk on stage.
You mean like a touring comedian, like a national touring comedian?
Just someone who's like not doing every aspect of comedy. Literally, my job is to write jokes and perform them.
Yeah.
That does not exist in the city.
There are some, like Tony Woods and, you know, DC Benny.
Yeah.
You know, they do. There are comedians. There are comedians, though, too, that you may have never heard of. I know I can't even remember the guy's name, but that tour and do like corporate gigs or go overseas or Carnival cruise lines. Like,
yeah. Okay. There is that level of things. All right.
But at the same time, to your point, there are not many.
Okay.
Yeah. Because usually you
we're just not that big a scene,
right? Mm. But what I'm saying is, like, I still comparatively though, I just don't like and I think it's like subsiding a bit because I've started to take the attitude like, come at me, because like I have nothing to hide and I'm not saying anything that is trying to provoke. It's like if I'm doing a show or if I have an opinion. If I have an opinion through playing a character, which is make fucking believe, and you don't like that character, you obviously then have not been exposed to enough film or theater or stories in general where there are unlikable people. And that's the...
Who's goddamn phone ding?
That was mine.
Johnson!
You Michael Janssen.
Yeah, that's so.
I mean, I think so. I think it sounds to me what you're saying is like, why doesn't the wokeness go both ways? Why doesn't the open mindedness go both ways?
Are you mansplaining a man right now?
No. I'm asking. Like, is that kind of what you're?
I think to a point, it just needs to be.
Like, where's the benefit of the
reeled
doubt?
In to the point of? There's a term they use in law that you'll see a lot where it's reasonable, you know, a reasonable, being reasonable.
Would you say live and let live?
I would say some.
Yeah.
I would say though, like there are people though that still like the woman that owns the Creek in the Cave up in New York City.
Yeah.
The other day on Facebook, she had these guys that ran a podcast called Skank.
Legion of Skanks.
Legion of Skanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With Big J. Okerson and a couple other guys.
Louis J. Gomez and Dave Smith.
And they wanted to have Milo on their show, and then people freaked out.
Yes. This was a Twitter thing about a month ago.
Yeah. So people ended up... She ended up basically through the outcry of people saying she was giving, a Nazi or bigots or whatever, a platform... those guys eventually have now found a new space to do their podcast. And some of it I've heard like, some of it I've heard that they were going to go and leave anyway, but she's still getting people leaving. And she showed it and I went and looked on her Facebook page, people leaving reviews, like saying, I won't go here because, you know, they give a platform to Nazis. And I looked at the girl that left the comment and the people that supported the comment, and they're comedians too. And I'm like, you are being totally unreasonable, and you are kicking a person. You're using what you're doing is you're abusing the power that, you know, through this movement that you've been able to wield, but eventually. Through that abuse, people playing that card so many times and like it's already happening, people are going to stop listening to you when you start to call everything or you start to use it in a way where you're like hurting people that, for the most part, Rebecca Trent that owns the Creek in the Cave in New York City is on your team, is on your side, you know, and so... What I don't like is, you know, people that are still using that in a way that is just like, it's hypocritical to me.
You ain't wrong. I don't know what else to say. Yeah.
Bottom line is a tough subject, man. The whole thing is just like, the context piece is what gets me. Like I think I would never say something, even in a comedic context, that is meant to hurt. Yeah. Like you said, I might do something that's meant to entertain or make you think or meant to just be maybe not shocking, but humorous in some way. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the intent would never, ever be to harm. And that's where I think it gets difficult. Like if I go home tonight wondering who's going to listen to this podcast and think that we're transphobic or homophobic or whatever the case may be.
Right.
That's problematic because I'm not.
Right.
Right. So that paranoia or that anxiety is really coming from nowhere. And that ultimately, I think, is part of the goal of some of the extreme people on the left that just want to cause chaos ultimately. And I don't think anybody would argue that's the productive way to do things. But I mean, the right has problems too. It's just now I think everybody's got to cool out and just be able to have a conversation without immediately assuming that someone is something negative.
Yeah, because the way that things have changed have happened so fast, and like through social media, you have this amplification of voices and issues and everything that it's like give people a chance to like catch up. It's like when Bruce Jenner came out and became Caitlyn, it was like ESPN decided like she's a woman and she's beautiful and it's like whoa, let me slow down. What do you mean? And then people are like, you're just being a cisgendered, you know, straight man. And, well, wait, what does cis mean? And like I remember seeing cis, and I was like, does that mean circumcised? Yeah. What is it? Because I knew people were against circumcision. I was like, I can't, you know. And then I know people that still don't know these terms, and it's like, you know why? It's like they're just not on social media. And then, so you can't just assume that everybody is, you know.
But that begs the question, do people have an obligation to be a certain level of woke? Like, is it 2019? Like, do you have some obligation to just know that it's not okay to say the N-word or
talk about that?
Do you know what I mean?
All right, enough. God damn it. Let's do some comedy. For fuck's sake. He made a good point. It's been a good point. But
take it down, man.
Something.
Get it. Why the chicken cross
really
the road?
Disappointed in us.
Yeah. No, not disappointed. You guys are just funny as shit. I mean, it's also a very deep thought.
Yeah.
It was incredibly. It was very well articulated. Trust me, if it wasn't very well articulated, like 10 minutes ago, I'd be like, shut the fuck up, put a cock in your mouth. But it was good. And I know you've wanted to say something to that effect for a long time.
I've been sitting on this, man.
You have. It's just welled up inside.
As he puts away the Denny's napkin with the writing on it in his pocket.
To whom it
came up with that over moons over my hammy.
Well, go to a topic that you've picked out.
Yeah,
I really just had banging the.
Well, what was the other one?
Well, okay. Let me see. There was the hoax that there was a streamer who sold her bathwater to people, like a YouTube sensation, and she sold her bathwater to fans, and someone put out a hoax tweet mimicking the Daily Mail's layout, saying that 50 people had gotten herpes from drinking the bathwater.
Why? You know what, though? You drink someone's bathwater that you bought over the internet.
You deserve death.
It is up to whatever.
I mean,
what are you doing?
No, like,
I don't know if you deserve death, but if death occurs, I mean, I can't say. Like,
it's 2019. This is the one little bit of prejudice we can keep.
Yeah.
Drinker died.
Those 50 people, if they were to seek any sort of like legal recourse, I would just hope that someone would say, like, you know what?
Go to hell. No one, goddamn Hitler, would
help
not
you.
Is that a reasonable? Does that fit the definition of reasonable? Like you drank someone's bathwater and now you are sick. That's a reasonable.
That is almost like analogous to you don't yell fire in a crowded theater. You don't drink bathwater you bought over the internet.
Well, what's funny? It turned out to be a hoax. Like she didn't give herpes to everyone, but
she did sell her bathwater.
You know what?
She did.
She
100%.
Now she could. She might have something for slander.
100%. She does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah. I remember hearing that, and it's such a great story. Like Richard Gere with a hamster in his ass.
Well, that was pre-internet, so you have to wonder about that one.
Oh, you think like that lends credence to it?
I mean, that was brought up in the movie Scream, where they're like, after you hear that Richard Gere hamster story, like so many times you believe that. Or like I think we may have talked about this before, but like the Mikey and the Pop Rocks, you know,
he died.
Yeah, I was in elementary school or middle school, and I remember hearing that, and it's like, who, you know, drudged up that story and was like, all right, we need to get someone out to each 50 states.
Spin on it.
And need you to go to into candy stores and just start laying this rumor down.
Go to the baseball card shop.
And just some eccentric billionaire that sits back and goes, I have all this money to spend. I want to start a rumor, and I want to just see how long it gets back to me.
You know what I? You know what I? You know, so true story.
My grandnephew tells it to me. I will have succeeded.
Who wants to start a pool?
I don't know if I've ever. I think I might have mentioned this once before, but one thing I used to play a lot of video games online. Right, I used to play Call of Duty quite a bit after I left the Marines because it was like made a cartoon out of war. It was like super entertaining, and I would play Call of Duty online, and there'd be like these. It'd obviously be these kids like with headsets and be like, fuck you, man, you piece of shit. And so I used to love spreading rumors about the next Call of Duty game. Like I'd be like, oh my God, you guys hear in the next Call of Duty game, you're going to be able to fly? Or you're going to have like three weapons? And I would wait to see, like, I would make them crazier and crazier. Like what got back to me? Like the next Call of Duty is going to be interactive. Like they're going to have a little device where your TV is going to shoot blood every time you get shot. And these kids would be like, what? No way, man.
Did you ever go too far? Like the next Call of Duty, your character will be Jewish.
Oh my God. They did.
Michael just staring at me dead-eyed. I
know.
You
know what? I have a question that I want to ask, but then, like, now that we're back on the lighter side of things, I don't want to. But
no, go. Do it. Do it. Do it. Ah!
When people came down on Kellen Winslow for saying that he was a soldier out on the NFL field, I don't know how long ago it was.
I remember that. Yeah. He said something about
I'm a soldier going to
war or something.
And people came down on him. And then right after that, you know, you'd have all these news stories of like, Kellen Winslow, but should he have said blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have a commercial break in an NFL game and you have an advertisement for Call of Duty, which is telling you to be a fucking hero and like you're going to war from like your basement into your backyard into urban warfare. And I'm like, this is horseshit.
Well, because I tell you right now, there's no respawning in actual war. Spoiler alert. I don't know if anybody knows that, but like once you're dead, you're dead. Yeah.
I mean,
what bothers me is these kids. I worry that some of these dumbass kids think like, oh, this is what war is like. No, dude, war.
Do you
war is,
you don't really worry that someone thinks you can die on a battlefield and respawn?
No, not that. Like, dude, so okay, I'll give you an example. So having been in the Marine Corps and having been to the Iraq War, one of the things they don't tell you, and I wasn't even in the infantry, one of the things they don't tell you is like, maybe you don't shower for a really long time.
Right,
maybe you have to carry your whole life on your back, or you're sweaty, or you smell, or like, I mean, all you can do to find some relief is to stuff tobacco in your lip or smoke a pack of cigarettes. You know what I mean? Like that none of that stuff comes through about the actual experience. Or like you come home and now you're scared of everything. Or like you can't go to the movies. Like Call of Duty makes it out to be a cartoon. And that was what I, after coming back from the Iraq War, that's what I loved about it.
So you just,
I was like, dude, I can lob grenades like all over this. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's a ridiculous game.
Like just Call of Duty PTSD edition.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just like dudes sketching out in a 7-Eleven.
It's like guys running around with like the water guns and stuff. It's like makes it like totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it makes it totally.
You know,
like,
it would be a really challenging game is for you to come back for more and to obtain your VA benefits.
There it is. Yes. That's the game. Call of Duty the VA edition. You just stand in line waiting for it for 6 days.
Wait, no. All this stuff physically I'm going through, and I think it has something to do with the war that I just fought. And they're like, no.
No, it's not.
It's hereditary.
The Call of Duty VA edition comes with a box of friggin' antidepressants.
Call of Duties go back in time as well, right? Like the very first one.
Yeah.
So there could be like a Call of Duty where you're trying to get the government to treat your cancer after Agent Orange.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, my. Yeah, the Call of Duty. They should
have had a connection with Grand Theft Auto where the guy just finally is like, you know what, I have to get my life together. And then all of a sudden it goes into Call of Duty.
Like when they say things exist in the same universe. Right. Yeah. Right. So the Call of Duty.
He's like, I got to stop stealing cars, but I didn't graduate high school.
A lot of opportunities.
for
a guy like me. Just 1080p.
That GTA was so sad because, like, he would fall to the ground every time a muffler backfired.
Right.
It was really so poignant.
Classic.
Yeah, and then, but he knew what to do in Thailand.
That's true. Just keep on dicking.
I've run these streets before.
Just dick your way through it.
I think that whole tangent was brought to you by spreading false rumors, I think
spreading
was how we went off on that.
Rumors.
Yeah, spreading false rumors. Yeah.
Just remember, the next Call of Duty, you'll be able to fly.
You'll be able to fly.
You yourself.
Flight. You'll have 20 grenades.
The gift of flight.
I think once I said that you'll be able to pay money And the more money you pay, the more like grenades you'll get, or the more ammo you get. And all these kids were like, "That's pay to play." They were so offended.
Yeah, it's just
like,
microtransactions. That's pay to play. Those are real.
The country's falling apart. The oceans are polluted. But these kids are like, "I pay to play in Call of Duty. That's where I draw the line." Yeah. Man.
Did you ever meet anybody like lasting friendships through?
You know, it's funny. I did, and I'll send this link to some of my pals in London, England. Jamie O'Connell, shout out. Rob. Shit, Rob, I forget your last name, but shout out. Anyway, Rob Hill, that's his name. Rob,
I just want to say.
Some guys in London I met playing Call of Duty. Never met him in real life, but right. We've been friends for like 10 years.
Really?
I just, and this is going to sound bad because I'm using gay as a pejorative, even though I don't feel that way, but what you just said is 100 times gayer than me admitting I would do the living shit out of India Moore.
No.
Just want to put that out there.
Meeting friends on Call on
yeah,
Xbox
like actual online? Male friends that you've met.
I mean, that's, you know, you have a problem with just platonic male intimacy.
Is that what?
Yeah, like,
is it the
go
relationship
the way,
or
like,
is it the platform? Are you,
no, I
you're just a PlayStation guy.
You know
like,
what?
God damn,
it's
that
your cock tease. Like, just finish these guys off. Just
you know what you don't. Can do though is what I've seen now is that there's internet porn, and the genre is the girl is gaming at mm-hmm. the time, and she decides that it's turning her on, or the guy that walks into the room is turned on by her gaming.
Nice.
She has like a headset and
like she has a little streamer set up and yeah, there's, well, that's a whole thing on what is the big stream, Twitch, like
yeah.
The girls that accidentally air quotes don't turn off their
Twitch?
Stream. It's like a service, a feed by which you can show people how you video game. Like we literally have gotten to the point watch people play video games.
It's a live stream.
Occasionally a girl will get saucy and be like, "Oh, I forgot to turn off my camera and now I'm masturbating." Yeah, right. Oops.
It's been known to happen.
Does she benefit from that?
You can make a ton of money, man.
Oh,
you make like $5 or something per subscriber. Like to subscribe to somebody on Twitch or to subscribe to Twitch or something
it's
like $5 or $10 and you get like
dumb
half.
As shit that the three of us aren't playing a game together and streaming together. Because like this pedestrian level right here,
really?
By Twitch standards, we are the fucking new kings of Latin comedy right up in this. Like we are on fire by Twitch standards.
Is there could I get on and just start jacking it?
You could, yeah.
No, wait, do I have to play the game first for like an hour?
No, you could just like wordlessly masturbate to just the opening screen of Mario.
They're like, whoa, we got to suspend your account. When we, you know, when we give you back your account, you got to play the game for at least 30 minutes. And then you can start.
Yeah.
And then you can leave the camera.
It cuts right back to, while you're fucking wailing on it.
What is that? Just any game you can play?
Yeah, anything. I'm so fucking old. I don't know the exact setup. Do you have to, Joe Rigatoni over here?
Yeah.
You need
yeah.
you get a stream box that you feed the HDMI through or something? Or
no, I mean you can have any level of setup. Like there are a lot of people that actually one of my old Marines does Twitch streaming. She has like a green screen, so like the background is like live. Like she'll do a lot of. I think it's like Dance Dance Revolution or one of those.
I'm not a sexist, but how big are her tits?
I'll give you her Twitch handle. You can make the call.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
It'll be your Call of Duty.
It'll be your Call of Duty. Yeah. Call of Duty, John Papa Giorgio.
Yeah. Call of Duty Sex Predator.
Yeah. But the point is like she has quite a set. I mean, it's like, you know, green screen, professional
cameras.
Oh, she has
cameras, quite a set.
Like
okay.
Quite a set.
Right.
Set up.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's, I mean, you can get a streaming box or you can literally now just do it through your Xbox or PlayStation. I mean, you can just
switch
everything
can.
In, as long as you have a
Switch is
good
a
enough.
Fucking Super Nintendo.
The Switch is basically, yeah, Super Nintendo. This guy.
The Switch is a goddamn Tiger LCD system.
You play any video game you want. Yeah. As long as people, I mean, that's the thing that people may not be, it'll be like right now. It's probably like my wife and son listening and maybe two other people, but
right.
Oh, they bailed.
Whether or not
they, bailed.
Yeah, they bailed a long
God,
time ago.
They bailed. No, like in your case, you could literally stream yourself playing like the latest Civilization. And you're
really?
So funny and stream of consciousness, like people would watch that shit.
My son, I'm not for nothing, man, but like, so my son is listening right now, or maybe not.
Why?
I don't know. But like, the thing is, I'll tell you right now, what would spike? I guarantee he's looking at his phone or off in La La Land, or maybe he's listening. I hope you're listening, buddy. But if he's not,
he's already jacking
if he's not,
to India
do,
more.
Do you know what could? Do you know what could add interest? Is if there was a video game that was being played
right.
in the background while he's listening to us. Now you've got his attention, and I think his generation in particular has to have. That extra level of stimuli
oh, we're fucked.
To be able to pay attention.
We're fucked.
It's tough, man. I'm telling you right now.
Movies in the future are going to have like someone playing a game at all times.
They're just going to have like a crawl like Fox News does.
Yeah.
And just a little picture in picture.
Do you guys ever catch yourself? You ever catch yourself like you're watching TV or a movie, and then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, dude, I got to rewind it like 10 because I'm looking at my phone. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, fuck I can't believe movies like, with captions because I
can't do the captions. The captions are too distracting to me.
I have to be able to understand what they said because I'm in and out.
Oh, I do it so people think it's subtitles and I'm smart.
Nice. Wow. I can't read and watch at the same time. If I wanted to read, I'd read a book. Oh, I'm watching TV because I don't want
to
read.
I have started to read again. Like street signs.
Magazines.
No, like...
food labels.
I know. Since I moved, I've tried to do it to also to get to sleep, like, you know, maybe six hours a night at least. But too often I've been on my phone or something else, and before I know it, it's like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I have to be up in 4 or 5 hours.
Well, have you noticed, like, that's how you can tell that phones and movies are fucking great and reading sucks, because, like, you'll do the phone, like, while you're taking a shit. You'll play with your phone in bed.
Well, I want to fall asleep.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You literally cannot put down your phone, at least for me, like... Reading, I treat it like a serial killer with a ritual. Like, I have a reading chair. I have to.
I think with my job, I have to read so much that now.
Oh, you're burned out.
Well, no. What I read at my job now, anything, any kind of book is actually pretty interesting.
Oh, because you just read legalese all day.
Legalese and insurance policies. And
that's a reasonable stance to take, I feel like. Yeah. That's a real, I'm reasonably with you. I am.
I just picture Michael reading, like, if you want to pick up the sword, go to page 78.
Okay. Oh, I used to.
Well, choose your own legal adventure.
Yeah.
If you want to plead not guilty, turn to page 24.
I remember the first one I read where I died, and I about dropped the book.
I fucking just dropped the juice. Like, just what?
No!
Fuck!
Did it say the end? Was it over?
Yeah, like, I think I had fallen out of, like, you know, I chose, a part of the spaceship where it's like, oh, you've been sucked out. It's like...
Cabin depressurized, like, sucking your intestines
through
your
rectum.
Gonna
have to start this again.
When you get sucked out of a spaceship into space, do you freeze or explode or what exactly happens? Don't you explode because it's a vacuum?
Like
you have internal pressure.
Blood vessels all burst,
all rupture or something.
You're dead pretty quickly.
Yeah,
you're dead instantly. From what
I think, at the very least, you suffocate. There's no air out there.
There's no air, and it's like 1 degree above Kelvin or whatever that thing was absolute zero or whatever. It's like super cold, and there's no pressure, and there's no air.
You seen the movie Gravity?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It seems like if you were to get caught in orbit, you would just take on debris that's traveling 150 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. I mean, did you love how they had that, like, pretty much a red shirt with them? You know that term, red shirt, or no?
What's that?
Okay,
like,
well,
a freshman that started not to
dork
play
you.
For 1 year and it's gonna
oh, a red shirt. Oh yeah, from Star Trek.
Yeah,
yeah, so, yeah, the red shirt who always died.
The original Star Trek. Like, the different colored shirts apparently correspond to different jobs. Shirt were the security guys, and so it always be like, well, we're going down to the planet. It's like Kirk, Spock, and then like Ensign Wedge. Redshirt. It's like,
Ensign
Wedge. Which one's coming back?
I would have liked them all just kind of looked at him before they beamed off.
just trying to remember your face. Yeah. We've had bad luck lately. And so that's like, there. Don't you remember? Wasn't there like, it's George Clooney, Sandra Bullock, and then like some no-name Indian actor or something, Asian. I forgot what the hell he was. But yeah, like 2 minutes in, like a fucking Coke can punches a hole through his head like a shotgun blast.
Oh, nice.
And he's just floating around. You're like, wow, I didn't expect. I thought the entire movie was going to be Sandra Bullock, George Clooney, and Ensign Chang. You know, right. Like,
he has like one line, so they show his face for like 2 seconds. So you're like, oh, that guy. That was that guy.
Yeah.
And then it shows him with like a. What was it? It was like a piece of debris that went through his head at like 17,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's exactly like, what Michael said, that like all these bits of satellite and screws that have come out of shuttles are now in orbit around the Earth. And like, to be in orbit, you're going fuck knows how fast.
Have you ever seen a video from the space station when they hit like a little piece of, they call it micro debris. They're in the space station and it sounds like somebody shot at them. It's like, bink.
I love those toys as a kid.
I was watching one. Micro debris. I was watching one where they showed a window. It was a window with a space station, And all of a sudden, there was a chip in the window, and they were like, "It's some little microscopic grain of sand going 17,000 miles an hour."
Dude, enough speed will make anything deadly. That there was a fucking shuttle that went up. I don't remember which one. The shuttle Deadzy. But long story short, it took off, and there was a stage of the rocket that was held in by fucking actual foam cubes, like the shit you would put in a camera case.
You're talking about the Challenger?
Not the Challenger. The Challenger blew up good and true.
Oh,
like,
Columbia. You're talking about Columbia.
I think Columbia. Okay, yeah. Columbia. Yeah. A fucking block of foam hit the wing at 500 miles an hour.
You know what it was? It was insulation foam on the big gas tank. You remember the big copper gas tank? It was foam. Covered in like, but it was like foam that was like as hard as cement. It was like insulating foam for the the big red.
I'm picturing actual styrofoam, like when you open a transformer as a kid. But yeah, at 500 miles an hour, it goes
500. Right. Try 5,000. It was like,
well, I thought it was like right on takeoff, so I didn't know it was that fucking fast. It was like they were doomed the instant they get up because this piece of shit foam goes right through the fucking wing. And then they're in space
with a hole in this. Yeah.
Yeah, like the entire time, like, hey kids, we're on YouTube. What's up? And then, like, they're just dead man walking. Like, can you imagine how fucking enraptured this country would have been if they learned that they could not have come down? People would have, the drama for once in our ADD lives.
When did this happen?
Like you said, I think you got it. 2003.
So, the funny, true story, man.
When
I was in the Marine Corps, I served with a guy named, his name was Lieutenant McCool. I don't remember his first name. But
Big Dick.
He was the son of Willie McCool, Commander Willie McCool, who was the Columbia Space Shuttle captain, or the pilot, and who was killed, of course, in the reentry. But I remember that nobody had any idea that that problem existed. And so when they came back into they said they thought maybe there was they called it a foam strike. And it wasn't on takeoff. It wasn't like immediately on takeoff. It was like, I think it was shortly thereafter. It was like some point in the acceleration where the forces are so tremendous that this block of foam just put a massive hole in the heat shield.
Yeah.
But they would, if I'm not mistaken, I wish I could remember it. Sean McCool, I think was his name. Sean's account of it was they would have, basically what they would have done is they would have parked the spaceship and they would have stayed on the space station. And they would have had to send up some rescue mission. That would have been some high drama.
Like, while they put together this. This is like literal. Yeah. You would have seen fucking movies of this until the day you die.
It would have been nonstop.
Like the way they make a D-Day movie every 10 to 15 years. You would have never stopped seeing goddamn space shuttle, whatever the hell, rescue movies. Fucking ad nauseum. End of time.
Well, they didn't rescue him, though.
No, they didn't know.
They burnt up. Yeah, they didn't.
They had to do
a
post-mortem on the goddamn shuttle and be like, oh, there's a hole in it. I'm just saying, had it played out differently.
Yeah. That nobody knew how. Now you know what the remedy is for that? Now the procedure.
Duct tape.
Well, they don't fly the shuttle anymore, but they used to. After that happened, every time they went to the space station, when the shuttle would undock, they would flip it over and literally look at the engineers at NASA. The shuttle would be upside down, and they would inspect every square inch of the heat shield. Then it would flip back over and go back into... But they never thought they would have to do that. It's like the Apollo astronauts that were killed in that on the launch pad when they had like a pure oxygen environment in the spacecraft, and like Apollo 1, I think it was.
And someone farted.
All those guys burned up. Somebody went, that was it. The rest is history.
Oh, and there's no way for them to let themselves out, right?
Well, they were all strapped in. And the thing is, I just saw the other day, actually, in a documentary, the flight director at the time said they were dead. He heard them dying. Like the Grizzly Man. It was like 15 seconds they were done. I mean, they just suffocated and burnt up and, you know.
Damn.
Terrible, man. But the thing is, they never had to consider that problem. Like, they never had to consider the pure oxygen environment and all these electronics in the, you know, 60s that are all shady, causing sparks. The same thing with the Columbia disaster. They never thought they would have to, the space shuttle would be totally compromised to the point of catastrophic failure by something as, I'm pretty sure they knew about the foam strike and they were like, ah, there's no way it caused enough damage to you know, cause a catastrophic failure. But
well, now they don't have to consider it at all because the Earth is flat.
That's true.
Yeah.
We're not, we literally just have to walk over the edge and you're in space.
Think about what John F. Kennedy, were he still alive today, would say about the fact that we no longer have a space shuttle and we're basically taking Russian Ubers into orbit, right, for like $80 billion a pop. I mean, God, can you imagine?
Yeah, no, it's...
Say, Era, where's my whore?
Yeah.
No.
Well.
Horrible on every level. Bad impression. Bad line.
No, what I can't believe is people think it's a waste of money because there's so many so many other inventions and
Tang and Gore-Tex jackets
have happened because of the research to put people into space.
Yeah. There's all
but
sorts
people
of
people are like, I'm not going to go to the moon just to see a rock.
It's the biggest act of R&D you can engage in. Like it's and that's the problem. R&D in today's world doesn't pay.
What is R&D?
Research and development. Yeah. Like think of all the fucking millions that Steve Jobs poured into making the iPhone, and then like HTC is just like, we're gonna make that phone too. Like that's it. Like, wow, that's genius. Cool, we'll imitate everything. We'll just do a fucking breakdown.
Intellectual property.
Yeah, and we're on that shit. And they had to spend like $100, maybe $200. You know, just
who is this other company?
I think HTC, right?
Well, there's Huawei. You know, Huawei.
Yeah.
Huawei. Yeah. They're the Chinese company that basically steals everything. Intellectual property.
Fucking, they are intellectual rapists, the Chinese.
Right.
If there's, okay, so there's two things that I'll agree with Trump on. One, just fucking say fuck you and don't apologize for shit and people will back down, which for better or worse works. I'm not saying it's the nicest thing. It apparently works. Two, the Chinese are fucking intellectual property thieves par excellence.
Right. Well, I couldn't believe was he would say that they're winning, and then you get a shot of people walking through a Chinese city, and they're all wearing surgical masks because they can't breathe.
Yeah. Oh, this is a shithole country. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who, honest to God, has a degenerative liver disease that he would have had later in life, but he did like 3 weeks in China. And the amount of like sewage in the fucking soups he was ingesting and stuff triggered an early onset of this shit.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's now looking at getting a liver transplant, which he probably would have been looking at maybe like 50, 55, but he's starting to get cirrhosis now.
Oh my God.
And it was triggered because, yeah, he was like, they use sewage as fucking cooking oil if they can get away with it. He's like, you'll never hear a bird in a Chinese city because they eat fucking anything that flies by.
Wow.
They're like spider people, man.
You said it's a shithole country, but I'm like, man, have you seen a picture of like, I mean, Beijing?
Oh, yeah.
The cities are like, God.
Yeah, I still want to go.
I mean, just be safe. And
I guess I'm not going to get a soup or a pet bird.
Yeah, bring your own damn water. Where are you, Petey?
I mean, there's some guy who just stuffed egg rolls in his face at Chinatown Express with me last night. You're pretty sure?
Yeah.
That kitchen door is open. I'm pretty sure I was
Do those people wince now when you guys walk through the door?
Yeah.
It's always like 15 minutes before it closed.
I think pretty much, yeah. We're just the fucking fat American eat beast that tip 15%.
Last night I was a little late. Papa's sitting in the restaurant waiting for me. And I come walking in, and the hostess turns around. She's about to be like, hi, welcome. And she turns around, and she just goes, oh, and just kind of points to Papa.
Right. Yeah.
Your fat friend is over there.
Well, no, I mean, like, Patrice O'Neill did a great bit on this. But, yeah, Asian people in the service industry, like, tend to not acknowledge humanity.
Right.
So, like, especially for filthy guaylo like us, the outsider whitey, when they actually are like, oh, yeah, we know you. You're not just another white guy. You're like, fuck, I achieved something. Like, right. I've eaten enough egg rolls. I did it.
You're getting me hungry for that place now.
I know.
They were especially crunchy last night, my man. You missed it. Yeah.
It was a good batch.
Yeah,
it was a good batch.
It was a good batch. Fried hard as shit.
I didn't even get to... You would have loved this shit. I walk in...
Was it just you two?
It was just us, yeah. Fucking, we got rebuffed by everyone else. Yeah.
Literally, everybody else is like, oh, we're going to Boundary Stone. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, like, we're going to be... It's honest to God, everyone after doing a performance does their fix. The two fat slobs go to eat food and the drinkers go drink.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But I am about to walk in the place and an old black homeless who's like, young man, come here. He's like, can you? And I'm like, thinking he's going to ask for money. He's like, look, I ain't going to ask you for money. Can you buy me food? I'm like, all right, what do you want? Because they have some fairly cheap options there. Like you and I routinely get this two egg rolls for three.
I want the lobster a la king.
Yes!
Really?
He goes, I want the sweet and sour shrimp. And he points to it and it's a $16 dish. I don't fucking eat $16 worth of food at this place.
Now, wait a minute. It's not a $16 dish at like Ruth Chris. This is like Chinatown. This is like a hole in the wall.
He didn't know he was asking the cheapest man in the place.
I second that. Can I be perfectly frank? I second that.
I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry.
I'm not going to say the number this guy tells me he's got in the bank, but I'll tell you right now, there's at least one comment. Right. Like, holy shit.
I eat like a $7 dumpling thing, and if I'm feeling saucy, I'll throw in $3 worth of egg rolls. So we're talking $10.50.
No.
So you agree with Trump on three things, which is just screw the hungry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's
yeah.
That too.
So I'm like, can I get it for you after my friend gets here? Just trying to buy myself some time. He's like, no, you can get it for me now. It's carry out. I'm like, well, technically I could. I mean, what the fuck? So I'm just like, how about I get you some egg rolls? Trying to guide him. Like, if you're actually hungry, sure. I'll get you three. I'll get you two. Right. $7 worth of egg rolls. Fuck it. I'm feeling saucy. He's like, man, you cheap.
No, he said, you being cheap, young man. Gave him a lecture.
Oh, that's it. And then he goes, oh, I'm just playing. I'm like, yeah, you played yourself out of some fucking egg rolls. And I just walked in.
Oh, he just walked away? He stopped?
No, he then came in later, and I think he just caved and was like, fuck it, I'll buy my own $17 worth of sweet and sour shrimp.
He had money?
He had money the whole time.
He had money the whole time.
He just bought this for himself later. Oh, but like, wow. Fuck, man, aim low. God.
So maybe that guy was cheaper than you.
Yeah, he was. You're right. That is
tell him about the outdated menu. He had like an outdated.
Oh, he had an outdated menu that he was using to reflect lower prices before they went up. Yeah. So like the actual sweet and sour shrimp was 18 bones. On his menu, it's $15.99. So had I ordered it and then settled up, I would have been like, motherfucker.
You should have switched menus with him. I thought that would be your move.
Yeah, it would have been like, hey, look. Broke dude, I'll give you $2 for the menu. Fucking oh order off.
I'll give it to you for $2.50.
You think they'd honor it? You think they'd honor the menu if you walked in? You're
fuck
like, yeah,
no, you would be in for trench warfare.
No, I tell you right now, if they did honor it, they'd pee in it. Tell you, you know,
just a little.
These egg rolls are a little salty today.
You think the Coke would have been tainted?
They give you homemade sewage broth.
They do that. Look it up. Fucking sewage oil. They literally will take like what the sewage condenses into. Which you could probably use as C4, and they'll use this shit to like cook. Street vendors will use it to cook, and then you're like, "Oh, that was a great wonton. Oh, I have hepatitis."
Ooh, yikes! You ever watch videos on YouTube of
yes,
like Japanese street food?
I thought you were gonna say Chinese tourists shitting in the street.
No, that would be or drinking sewage water. I mean, that's something, you know. It's probably a channel opportunity.
But Chinese tourists actually get a bad rap around the world because they shit anywhere.
I thought that was an Indian
what?
Thing.
Is that a real like?
Yeah,
that's a real like stereotype, or whatever?
Yeah,
no kidding.
There are actual signs that say like. You can't shit here.
I know that the Indian folks are real. Like, I remember watching a video 10 years ago that was designed by some, like, whatever the Indian department for not shitting in the street was. And it was a song where the chorus was, take your poo to the loo.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. And it was just like a Bollywood, like, take your poo to the loo. And it was
people
like,
were just shitting.
People just shit. Yeah. Like,
it's so overcrowded. Yeah. We're going to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
the line for the bathroom.
Well, yeah, fucking, there's so much that is flawed with this country, but if you're, it's like, you want to talk American pride, we shit in toilets, like, almost unequivocally.
Or at least in an outhouse, or, you know,
in
the woods.
Exactly, like, behind a door with a little crescent moon cut out of it. Yeah. That's what we do.
Well, in the Marines, you shit in a hole you dig.
And then you burn it, right?
And then you use leaves to wipe your ass, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, well, I remember as a kid, I heard a story...
Were you in like Afghanistan or Iraq?
Iraq twice.
Iraq twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was there?
I never had to shit in the sand in Iraq. I'll say that.
Did were the female soldiers like?
No, it was not integrated at the time. If that's
oh really was
no, well. No, so I mean, my unit was integrated. There were females in my unit, but we were not. We're a non-combat unit. I was a communications officer. So like I had female Marines, but we were not. There's combatant units, and there's not. Well, so that was always a little weird because they weren't supposed to, but like there was, I remember one time, one of my corporals, a young Marine for those that don't know, came to me and was like, I got a little bit of a problem. There's this female corporal from another unit that wanted to hook up with him. And the plan she came up with was we had these like old Toyota Jeeps, or like Toyota pickup trucks that we could use to drive around this giant airbase that we were at the time. And this female Marine wanted to have another Marine drive the pickup truck around the perimeter of the base while she hooked up with my Marine in the back. And he was like, we've been here for like 8 months. I kind of want to do it. And I was like, I kind of would want to too.
Right.
but probably don't. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that's probably not a good idea. So, like,
wait, like, someone's literally driving just like a fuck chariot and circles around a base?
Yeah, yeah. And around the perimeter of the base.
Did,
like,
did they end up doing it?
As far as I know, they did not. Because I will tell you right now, that caper would not have gotten very far because there's guard towers like every 10 feet. I'm pretty sure somebody'd been like, there's people fucking in that back of that fucking Jeep.
Yeah, what?
You know? I don't know what the punishment would have been, but it would have been severe. I'm sure.
Really?
Well, you can't be doing that stuff. Like, what if she gets pregnant, or what if like
there's
a disease that's spread, or like
what
I mean?
Would the guy driving get in a lot of trouble?
You know,
only if he watches.
How would you approach that? Be like, hey, Tony,
right?
You want to drive us around? Just maybe don't look in the rear view at all. Like, yeah, around the perimeter for like, I don't know, 17, 18 minutes, depending on how we're feeling.
Or seconds.
Yeah, after 6 months or 8 months in Iraq, it'd be like 6.9 milliseconds.
That's a pretty good plan, I guess.
Yeah, it's no, you can't.
Pretty
you can't
hot, at least.
There was. I remember once.
Yeah, it's more fun to think about than it is prudent.
I don't know that would have been super comfortable for anybody because the perimeter. Saddam Hussein sadly did not take care of the perimeter roads on his air bases. So there's
I mean, I don't get why the truck had to be moving. Like, that seems like just a way to get noticed.
Just get in the truck.
Like,
park under a tree like romantics.
Would they have been better off in like a stall?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a number of other places I could have thought to like. The thing I wanted to say was really that's the best. That was the plan. Like, that's what you hatched. I mean, there's buildings, you know, and like you live in a little. They called them cans. They were like, imagine like a quarter of a tractor trailer.
But then he's like
that was made in like a little studio apart, like a pod hotel or something. Like you could there was a bed in there. Like, I don't understand. Just why don't you have the Marine that was driving just keep watching your can and go, you know.
Because it's
fire dinner and have a nice time. I don't know.
It's pretty hot.
They might as well have been like you know the mounted 50 cal? Like, can we fuck on it while firing?
What, the tanks where there's no tanks available?
Do you have like a story of like the craziest like hookup in the military that you...
Oh my God, yeah. I saw... What was
his name?
Boom, 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 boom. So before I left, but my first deployment, which was... 2005. I was getting ready. So I was a young lieutenant. I was getting ready to leave. I was scared shitless.
Is that spelled like rapper style? Like Y-U-N-G? Like young lieutenant? Young lieutenant.
I was young J. Y-E-U-N-G. Yang. So I'm scared shitless. I'm not dating anybody at the time. And I'm getting ready to leave for 8 months. And I'm like, I've convinced myself at this point I'm definitely going to die. So I was like, what am I going to do? I'm glad. The jury's still out on that one. So I go to this bar. By myself, it's like a bar/club in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, in the non-beach season.
It
so it's
all
like
fellers in this bar.
So it's like me, this pothead fisherman from around the corner, and like this Russian chick waitress who was like young and hot. And so, I'm talking to the pothead fisherman. I'm talking to the waitress. The waitress, I don't know. I guess she liked the cut of my jib, whatever. Next thing I know, it's like the night before the deployment, and me and her are hooking up in my bed in my house. Obviously, I don't know why that detail left me for a second.
Well, we're so established that people fucking Toyota.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah, we weren't in the back of a pickup truck.
We were driving around the perimeter of the bar.
My Prius was not open for business. honk if you like my ass. But I remember the sex was so vigorous that we started out pointing in the normal orientation on the bed, right? With our heads up by the headboard, feet by the feetboard.
Okay.
And over the course of the night, we made a full 360 all the way around the bed to the point that by the time like 7 a.m. rolled around and I kicked her out of the house and then went without showering to church with my parents before my deployment, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, that was pretty crazy.
You had to kick her out.
I never saw her again. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was a vigorous night of lovemaking. So everybody was a little tired and hungry at that point, and I had to go to war. So,
you know, like I have,
I would be like, yeah, you can hang around if you want to, but.
Did you use like the I'm going to war to not wear a condom?
Oh, no, I definitely wore a condom because I did not know that chick very well. So, I mean, she was nice, but I didn't. I mean, she had a very thick Russian accent.
I would
so
have put on the condom and then taken it off and declared that I was going to war.
Terrible. War. I did, however, drink her bath water, which was.
There you go. Yeah. Mouthful of herpes.
No herpes as far as
I like to use a condom, but then at the end, pull it off and then insert the business end inside her with all the semen going inside and just go boop.
That feels
it's just deranged.
And that's how babies get.
That feels I was gonna say that feels well thought out on your part. Yeah, I feel like you have like a chart at home and
it's
called assault.
You just hold the ring and then you go.
Oh my God. I'll tell you right now, there's a baby Papa Georgia running around somewhere. you can bet on that.
Well, there are guys that I guess have admitted to what pulling a switch.
Oh, yeah. Well, like you take it off or something?
Yeah, and you don't tell the girl.
Can you imagine being, like, if you were a girl and somebody did that, right. I would beat you into oblivion.
Yeah, what a monster.
I would destroy you.
I guess. Don't look at me with those eyes!
I wouldn't be able to pull it off because I'd just come right away. Oh my gosh, this is so much better.
I guess
why was I doing the other thing?
Right. What are you talking doing? About? Nothing.
Oh, this is what it feels
why
like.
Why are you running to the bathroom?
When I was a much younger man before rape had been invented.
Oh my gosh, this does not start out well.
No, I just, like, I really wasn't getting there with the condom on. So, like, in a desperate attempt, like, you know, when someone's flatline, so you start CPRing so hard you crack their ribs. Like, I pulled off the rubber just to see if getting a taste of it could keep the man.
I have
hard.
No idea what you're talking about.
I was trying to fuck with a condom on, and it was so desensitized, but I wanted to make love. I didn't want to ruin this, so I took off my condom and then
informed her thusly, of course.
Of course, in Morse with the blink of my eyes. And it still didn't matter. Like, I still couldn't perform. And then she was like, hey, where's the condom? And I just, like, Speedy Gonzalez out the hotel door. But we're still friends to this day, and I don't have a kid. So that makes it okay.
I thought it was a dead guy the way it started out.
How'd you have a kid? Magic? You said it didn't work, right?
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's not how I don't know if you know that, but limp penises don't produce kids.
The one time I had a legit scare was simply off pre-cum, dude. Like, that's
a real thing.
That really does happen, yeah.
You got to explain that to the younger
generation. Why do you think Catholic families are like 12 deep? Fucking pre-cum, do it.
Well, yeah, that could be it. It could also be the not pulling out part. That could have been, you know.
Pre-cum, do it is the debut album from Young Lieutenant.
I had a scare once when the girl told me she wasn't on the pill. And
it just sunk in. It's ridiculous.
Totally missed it. I'm thinking about all my sex, like my condom stories.
I wish you just what said you that in like a horny retard voice. I'm thinking about all my sex. I got it up here still, and you can't take it away.
I'm like having flashbacks.
The question of the day, spermicide, does it work, yes or no?
I have never used it.
I don't know that I ever. I mean, I guess you can buy it in a tube. I just always assumed it was on the condom. I don't know.
It's like a dental dam. I think it's only there for like.
Is it a pesticide? Yeah. Does it qualify as a pesticide?
I think it's just.
Or sperm pests? I don't
know. I think it's just for like.
Depends on where you're sitting.
Department of of Health, you know, displays. Like, it's like you have to have it like included. But they don't ever order enough to like give it away because no one ever uses it.
I hope it's advertised like barbecue sauce bottles. Like there's just a smiling black dude on the side of it.
Oh my God.
Stub spermicide. Well,
my old hospital that I worked at, they supplied dental dams. And I got out a package once and was like looking at it. And I was like,
Is there just like a flat piece of latex?
It is like someone popped a balloon.
Okay, yeah.
You know.
So let's dissect
so it'll
that
kill a turtle.
Term.
And then also they were giving away female condoms, which were interesting.
Isn't that what a dental dam is?
No.
So is the term dental dam, is it literally a dam blocking your mouth?
It is like
mouth?
A little rubber cloth that you would put over, or that you would stretch out and then... You'd be like, ooh, do you have a balloon fetish?
It's like you're pulling on silly putty and just seeing how far it can stretch. That's and then that's a dental dam. Like you imagine you're
can
putting.
Can you imagine how a girl would feel if you're like, hold on a sec.
I'm going to put a little tablecloth on your pussy before I dine upon it.
So I just remembered another Marine story.
Oh, right. Nice.
So this one's quick. I do remember actually in a voracious pre-deployment, this is my second deployment, pre-deployment sexual encounter.
You're back in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. This time with a red-headed Irish woman.
Wow. Fuck you,
off
bastard!
Off the boat from Ireland.
You bastard!
Very thick accent. I can't do an Irish accent.
Ginger.
Right. You're going to have to picture that one. I did not have a condom, and I tried to use a plastic grocery bag.
What?
Needless to say, that doesn't work. So kids, plastic grocery bag.
Yeah,
she
does
was the
when
one,
you fucking
was,
just push right through it and
well,
bang
she
them
was
raw,
the,
dog.
She was the one who was like, oh, we could try this. And I was like, oh, that does make sense. It's a dam of sorts, you know, but it broke immediately. So, you know.
Oh, the fucking Irish. Really?
It was crafty, man. She just she grabbed it right out. I think it was a 7-Eleven bag, as I recall.
A plastic bag. Whoa, that's... I don't care. I don't care. She's a ginger. A female condom. At worst, she could be a 7.
Looks, when you pull it out, it looks like a hamster tube.
A habit trail for the pussy.
Now, wait. So what is that? A female... That's a female condom, you're saying?
Yeah. So it's like a...
It's like a sperm trap, isn't it? That basically what the principle of that is?
It's
he
like
said a female condom,
it is like,
not my face.
It is like a latex PVC pipe.
Oh, nice.
Kind of.
So they just
and it
they,
has
they
like,
swim
it
through
has
it.
It has like straps, right?
Does
so,
it have like lights on ribbed. The inside? Or what?
Lights.
Is it like a tunnel for the like,
yeah,
hey,
pretty
this
much.
Way?
Does
yeah.
it not like.
It has a catcher.
It needs like an external
oh,
thing to
yeah.
hold it in place, right? Or no?
Wait,
because otherwise
it's held
gonna...
by the structure of the vagina.
Is really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you put like a rubber cement on the sides of your vaginal
it's
walls before putting
I guess
it in?
It's like, it'd be like stuffing in a sock.
Well, can I say the obvious? Is it like stuffing in a condom that doesn't have a penis in it? I mean, is that basically what it is?
Kind of, yeah.
It's like a big old windsock, yeah.
But it's a. It's
if
bigger.
I were selling this, I would probably go with that to sell it rather than.
Yeah.
Like, it's like stuffing in a sock. I
and
can't
the, and
sell
the benefit,
any of these.
The benefit. the benefit ultimately is to who? It feels better for the man, but
yeah,
I can't imagine.
I guess it, and maybe it feels better for the... If any of the women out there are using female condoms, call in.
Call
in.
1-900-PAPA-GEORGIO's ballsack.
Loveline. Ricky Rackman edition.
You guys remember that show? You remember that show, Loveline?
Oh, yeah.
No, I just said those words. What does it mean?
I mean, you remember being like a teenager and being like, oh, shit.
I am a huge Dr. Drew fan.
Dr. Drew's
amazing. I've seen him in person.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
I didn't meet him. I just saw him. Like I went to L.A. in the infancy of this podcast. I had a listener, a really attractive blonde girl, and I had bitched about wanting to move to L.A. because so much has changed in my life. I just talk about cities I'm going to do comedy in and then never do it. So she was like, "Hit me up." She's like, "Yeah, why don't you just come and crash with me and we'll do L.A. for a week?" I was like, "Shit, yeah." Her brother was in rehab, and she's like, "Yeah, it's Dr. Drew's rehab." And we just drove by one time, and Dr. Drew pulls up and gets out. She's like, there's Dr. Drew. I'm like, there he be.
Watering the lawn?
Yeah, exactly. He was doing some of the stucco on the side.
I wonder how you end up being an actual physician. And then
there's a school
Dr.
for
Drew.
It.
No, but like being an actual physician and then becoming Dr. Drew. Are you like,
he must get,
are you a super good doctor and then you end up being like Dr. Drew? I feel
no,
like maybe
you're
not,
you're
right?
Fucking fame whore.
You're like, yeah, you're like probably not that good a doctor, right? You know what I mean?
Every place he goes now, people are probably like, I have this little kind of thing that is on the side of my
yeah.
Who
is that? AIDS?
It was him and Adam Carolla, wasn't it?
Yeah. Adam Carolla.
It started with Ricky Rackman as well.
Did it really?
Yeah, and then Carolla
didn't
and
he
Rackman
to
beefed.
Host Headbangers Ball?
Headbangers fucking Ball, man. Yeah. Yeah. Ricky Rackman's had a weird and storied career. He then became like a NASCAR host.
They were probably like, you should host this new sex talk show that we have.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm still getting over the mixing.
And they're like, Ricky, you're asking too many questions.
Can a porn star give you herpes?
I drank some, dear Dr. Drew, I drank some bath water and now my throat itches.
Sincerely,
on the inside.
Your co-host.
Like he's just in the audience. God. Ask this.
Can water. The ugh. Banned poison actually give you poison?
Oh, did Motley Crue fuck my wife?
Do people call in or they did they? How did they?
They called in. They and
called
then
in?
They had a live well, studio audience. Right?
It was
a radio show.
It was two different. Yeah, exactly. The big thing. It was a radio show out of K-Rock in L.A. and it was syndicated to HFS. Like when we were kids. And I remember not listening to it, but it was like a nighttime show.
Yeah, I remember being on, yeah.
I got my taste of it via MTV, and they always had like a really cute like assistant
right.
who would go into the audience and just like Ricky Rackman, get poison, give me poison.
Do you guys remember in that same time frame, like late 90s, mid to late 90s, do you guys remember the late night commercials for like the early boner
wild.
Pills? Yeah. Or like, and there'd be like some smoking hot chick. and then like some dude pretended to be a doctor, and then some clueless dude that was like, "What? No way! This is gonna be a boat." And the hot chick would just be, you don't remember that? And it'd be like a fake panel discussion, and they'd be like, "Hey, hot chick, what's your biggest beef in life?" And she'd be like, "My boyfriend's penis doesn't get hard." And they just like, and then they talk to the guy in the end, and they're like, "What's your biggest problem?" He's like, "My penis doesn't get hard." And they're like, "We've got this purple pill you can buy at the cashier at 7-Eleven. It's gonna change your whole life." And she's like, "What?" I think it was called Extends. I even remember the name.
I think they
like Extends or something. Yeah, they probably
I remember the name Extends. I just don't remember that ad campaign.
And it was always like shipping and processing. Get your first order free. And it was like in the bottom, something about auto renew program or something. Like you agree to a shipment every week or something. Like
lifetime supply.
I remember watching so much Howard Stern E Channel shit, and every commercial was girls going wild. And like to this day, if I hear a fucking kettle drum, I just get an erection. Like just all Pavlovian conditioned.
Was that the soundtrack?
Yeah, it was always like
a kettle drum. Yeah. I was thinking about
like, timpani drum, weren't you?
Or the symphony.
That's the
beginning of Flight of the Valkyries.
Wait. I think that was wrong. Yeah, it is a kettle drum, I think. Steel drum.
Yeah.
Not a kettle drum.
Snare drum.
Oh my god.
It's like the Beethoven.
Civil Warrior. Just make me come. Yeah.
Today on Papa's Basement, Joe Gagliardi recounts an improv sketch. Michael Johnson struggles to find a quote.
Right.
Yeah. And we go back and forth about the meaning of the kettle drum.
John listens to a steel drum while coming in the mouth of a transsexual.
Classic stuff, man. Classic times on the Papa's Basement.
Yeah, it was
podcast.
Freeing.
Yeah.
It was liberating, really.
I feel good. I feel good.
Brave is the word. Hashtag brave. Hashtag our truth.
Yeah. You gotta work it out. Some deep stuff, man. It got real. It got funny, you know?
It got confusing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The new kids come on the side of the bus stop.
So I just, can we just, is that, was that a real scandal? Did somebody in the new
that
kids?
That was an like, urban what? Legend that, was it one of them?
It dated back to like Rod Stewart barfing jizz at a party. Like, and then it just, you would insert the star du jour.
I just like the fact that, you know, doesn't matter how famous you are. If you barf, people are going to go through it.
Of course. Yeah. Like the way the National Enquirer will go through your trash.
We were at this party and Rod Stewart barfed and there was semen in it. What were you doing?
We had a vomitologist at a party we do every Hollywood party.
Luckily, my friend's dad is a vomitologist.
But who ensured the chain of custody on the vomit so that there was no infiltration of?
Oh, you mean like someone collected it and
outside
just
vomit.
Jerked off?
Outside, right? Like maybe somebody's turned on by vomit. And they just came in.
Oh my God. That is a.
That's actually what Rod Stewart's lawyer said.
That's a good legal defense. Is like, there are too many people. This vomit passed through too many hands. Who knows who jerked off in it? I'm not saying that is semenless vomit. I'm just saying.
It's not a reasonable assumption.
Right.
Right.
And it's not an unreasonable.
What? Somewhere. It's in the ether. It's somewhere
well,
in between.
Well, the person that collected it may have jerked off, or person that took it and I guess
somewhere. There was a second jerker on the grassy knoll.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. The Zapruder film. The Zaspooger film.
That's why you never know the identity of the person on the grassy knoll. Yeah. They just went and all they found.
Someone just jacked off on the film.
They just found semen and they're like, we can't tell this to people.
We don't know who
it was actually vomit that had semen in it.
Who was there? Don't.
That was the beginning of the legend.
Don't.
The guy in the grassy knoll.
It was Rod Stewart.
Don't.
That was his cover. He was, you know. Rod Stewart in disguise in a parking lot in Dallas
this
in 1960.
Young British kid.
Yeah, 63.
This young British kid with these pock marks on his neck.
Fired off three headshots, then vomited semen onto his chest.
Right as Oswald took his first shot. It was a convergent of events.
Today
did I hear a little deaf Christopher Walken?
It was the convergence of events. That was my deaf Christopher Walken.
You've got to vomit.
That sounded like Christopher Walken with a sinus infection.
I've got a fever.
And the only prescription is vomiting out the semen.
And she got to evacuate.
My body's rejecting the semen.
You sound like Harry Carey doing an impression of Christopher Walken.
Hey!
I'm not trying to walk.
Hey, if you ate too much sleep, would you throw it up at a basketball game?
Or would you leave it in your tummy because it's so delicious?
I know I would. Hey, if the moon was made out of semen, would you vomit it?
If you shot President Kennedy, would you vomit all the delicious semen in your tummy, or would you keep it down?
Wow, this is derailed.
It's just gone right off the... I'm pretty sure we can safely say that at 9:37, no one is 90 minutes into this baby. Everybody's checked off, you know? Checked off, checked out.
Yeah, okay. All right, sure. If that's what we're going to do.
Mm. I'll bring the music in.
No, that made it official. You killed it.
This sounds like a video game.
It is. Street Fighter 2.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the ending credit music to Street Fighter 2.
Do you have the test your might? Do you have that one to test your strength?
No, I'm not fucking jukebox
over here.
So this
is what Twitch episode might sound like.
Yeah, exactly. Like if
we're
playing
over
old
here
Super
playing
NES
Street
game.
Fighter.
Yeah, we're going to do it on 8 stars and 10 speed turbo. We're going to take Dhalsim unhit through the M. Bison fight.
Dhalsim fire!
Is that what you have to... say at the top?
No.
I mean, you could.
I think you can be as focused as this podcast was.
Okay. Yeah. I might have to go home and play Twitch.
What if I barf gum during my Twitch stream?
Papa's Basement brought to you by Ritalin.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Before we do an outro, I want to say RIP to Rip Torn, man. Rip Torn died.
What?
I fucking loved Rip Torn. In my 20s, right after my dad died, that's English. Right after my dad died, I glommed on to 3 father figures in my life, and they were Arnold Schwarzenegger, Johnny Cash, and Rip Torn.
Wow.
And now we're down to 1.
I'd like to see those 3.
Have sex.
No, like what in some sort of movie.
Rip Torn's claim to fame.
This
was,
is Rip Torn.
He was in Larry
if you came
Sanders,
in my mouth.
Larry Sanders show. He was
He was Artie, and I idolized
was
him as Artie.
Manager? Or?
He was the producer of the show.
Okay.
And then he also played Tom Green's dad in Freddy Got Fingered. He was Freddy's dad.
Okay. He was in, no, okay.
he was
in Dodgeball, too.
Yeah, that's true. He was the
he was
in the wheelchair.
Also,
was he the old guy in Dodgeball?
Yeah.
He was
also
French Dodgeball.
He was on TMZ a couple times before in the past few years for getting drunk and belligerent.
Hey, it's me. I drank too much beer and cum. I'm Rip Torn.
What was his actual name, Rip Torn?
Yeah.
That's
well,
incredible.
Rip was a nickname, yeah.
Obviously, but, right. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure his parents were like, oh,
it
last
was
name
like
is
Doug Tracked.
sister words.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I fucking idolized especially the role of Artie. Like, if you listen to the intro clip, or I'm sorry, the outro clip, which I have to replay this. But as soon as we end any episode, that's fucking Rip Torn talking.
Where?
You'll hear in like 5 seconds when we end the episode. But okay. I wanted to thank you guys if you wanted to
thank
plug
you.
Your social media. Anything,
you
Michael Johnson.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Michael, MikaelLJohn.
You have like a stripper spelling.
Something like that.
And thus a friendship ended.
I don't know. I post pretty sporadically now.
You need to do more. This guy doesn't do social media at all. He's all like fucking in his head about it. He's like, he acts like Twitter and Insta or Facebook. He's like, bah, I hate that. Like, I know all these dudes that made it. I'm like, so don't interact with people on Facebook and just do Twitter and get comedy people to follow you and be funnier than them.
You could just get to my yourself. Point, resign that you're never going to make it, and then
that was
it
a
makes
poor,
it easier.
That was a poor representation of what I said. What I said was all these guys that made more money.
Yeah.
Than, not made it. I made it, you know? What's it? It's like sexiness. It's relative.
It's getting a lot of cum in my mouth.
I got the it. I got
that's
a,
how I,
got a,
success.
I got a 2008 Infiniti G37 outside, buddy. You going to beat that? I drive a Dodge Stratus. Remember that one?
I don't.
I drive it. It's a Will Ferrell sketch.
Oh, okay.
Obscure SNL references. But no, I'm not. I'm on social media, but I'm not. You're not going to care.
All okay.
You, people out there. Not you. I mean the audience is not going to care about my social
media.
No,
I think the 4 people that we're going to follow already
I will eventually.
Yeah.
I will eventually.
Everyone, this was Papa's Basement. If you liked it, find us on iTunes, find us on YouTube, Stitcher. What the fuck else are we on? I don't know. All the droid apps that do podcasts. Yeah, Twitch stream. Where we drink cum while watching Super Mario.
Bumble.
And
I think we should do that.
Yeah, I'm at Papa's Basement on everything. And again, thanks you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you to Rip Torn for his tireless service as my outro for these past 12 years.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show?
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
The post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.